Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that loves to stomp around playgrounds in hopes to someday hold a city hostage. I am Oscar. With me today is...
Ralph.
And this is episode number 32. Today's show will involve three films, two of them newish. Actually, one of them newish. The other two are... Doesn't matter. We'll start our evening with a review of Colossal, which is Nacho Vigalondo's latest film. Came out earlier in the year, I believe in May, starring Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis. Pretty interesting movie, kind of a twist movie, on concept anyway. And then our second film of that evening, of today, I mean, fucking Christ, of today, will be Ridley Scott's latest film as well, Alien Covenant, the prequel sequel to Prometheus and the whole Alien installments movies, because there's four others, I think, or five, I don't know. And then we'll conclude our show with a much more early latest review of It, the latest Stephen King adaptation that did infinitely better than The Dark Tower, which came out about a month ago. So,
infinitely right. Better is the word.
A lot of Stephen King adaptation movies that do. Some do really well, some do really bad. Mm-hmm. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com, and otherpodcast.com is our website where you can find everything we have on everything, including top fives, including our bonuses, which is interesting. Speaking of bonuses, our bonus episode for this month is what movie do you remember, Ralph?
Wait, this month?
Yeah, September.
No, I forgot.
Mama? Mother. That's right. It's Mother. It's Darren Aronofsky's latest film. Uh-huh. We're excited. The guy makes a movie only every 4 years or so, kind of rare enough. And I'm excited to watch it. Okay. So that's going to be fascinating. I haven't seen it yet. It came out this weekend, by the way.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it's out already. So we got to watch that shit. Anyway, so check that out. And then we'll continue on here. Before we get there, we're going to start talking about what we've been watching. Before we get to our first review, I should say. And I'm going to start it off. I have two films only today, and they're kind of... One's from this year, I guess, and one's from much older. Not much older, a few years older. I'm going to talk about an Argentinian film I saw that is over 4 hours long.
The fuck?
What?
Is there an intermission?
There are two intermissions, actually.
Jesus H.
It's called Extraordinary Stories, and they really are extraordinary. So the reason I really want to I normally don't highlight movies that came out in a year previous. I'm more of a recent guy because I watch so many movies I can't mention them all. Right. The reason I want to mention this because it's kind of a new way to it's like a, not a new way, but it's such a great way. Might be my favorite movie about narration. The whole movie is narrated. None of the main actors in the movie hardly ever say a word, maybe one or two. But there's constant dialogue happening. Narration is always explaining their minds, their actions, what they're saying to other people in the scene, but they don't actually let the actors say the thing. And the movie is shot very well composed and very well structured. It is not HD quality, it's not Hollywood, but it is really well made. And it came out in 2008, in the description here. In this adventurous experiment in storytelling, secret identities, missing persons, lost treasures, exotic beasts, and desperate criminals are only a few of the elements woven into a grand tapestry of mysteries. And the whole movie is a gigantic exercise of build-up and mystery, and these three characters who have no real names, they're all names is like H, Mr. X, Mr. Y, that kind of thing. And very interesting stuff. And every story, every time it switches...
Mr. Brown's also sucks you. Like Mr. Shed,
that's yeah. Right. Every story sucked me in, is my point, and it's really hard for a four-hour movie to do that to someone. And the fact that this movie succeeded so well, and yes, I did see it in three parts, because not one sitting can, no way. But yeah, this movie is really good.
Oh, you can't do it.
And no. I loved it. Kind of hard to find, but if you can find it like your local library or whatever, it was a movie, but no longer there. That's where I saw it.
Did you say your local library?
Yeah. Libraries have movies for sure. Yeah.
Shit. Not
Am
Chicago.
I wrong? Not Chicago, you said?
No, they don't trust people.
Jesus. Yeah, they do. We have it. Do you want me to show you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're in the library tomorrow. Wait, tomorrow's so.
Nope. They're okay. Closed.
The other film I saw was... this movie came out last year. I'm sorry, I thought it came out this year. It doesn't matter. It's a horror movie called From a House on Willow Street. I know you haven't heard of it. It's on Netflix, one of the movies they bought last year. After a woman is kidnapped, her captors soon come to realize that, in fact, they may be the ones in danger and that this young woman has a dark secret inside her. The dark secret is that she's possessed. You kind of know that off the beginning. So I liked, what I like about this movie is that they use a very personal reason to kidnap someone, also for money, but also for personal reasons they kidnap her. And I like how they kidnap her under very weird circumstances. They enter a horror movie to kidnap her, which is a criminal act, but the criminal act is overexposed by the horror. Like, they enter this house, and she's the only one there. Everything's creepy around her. She has blood on her. Like, it looks fucked up. They shouldn't be kidnapping her. Like, the right. worst person to kidnap. And when they do, things are fucking up, of course. She's clearly kind of manipulating the situation in a demonic way that you find out pretty soon that it's all happening.
Yeah.
And this is one point where they're like, they contacted her parents to, you know, send the ransom, and they haven't gotten a response yet. And they decide to go to the house and find out what's going on. And they go there, everyone's dead.
Oh, shit.
And I like the idea that these criminals who do one thing that's pretty heinous in any other kind of horror movie is overtaken by something else that's horror. And this movie does it pretty okay, not great. The acting is not great either. But I think it's a solid like B to A minus horror genre type, not like the movie's that good. It's just a B horror to like a good B horror.
Yeah.
So yeah, I liked it. It's a House on Willow Street. It's pretty flannel. It didn't explain much. The premise says it all. It doesn't really go beyond the premise. Okay. Those are two movies I've seen. Not much craziness, but you have something. What you got?
I have two movies also.
Yeah, I heard.
I don't think you did.
No, I know I didn't.
Yeah, I saw one movie that's... We'll start from the bottom to where here.
Whatever.
So the movie I saw was Angels in the Outfield, the 1951 version. Okay. I'm not going to read the description because it's just about angels in the outfield, about baseball. But it's so you remember watching the Disney version, right?
First of all, I did not know it was a remake. Mm-hmm. For that idea we were having about making old remakes, the originals, like yeah. The marathon, that's a good one.
So yeah, remember the Disney one where yeah. they actually show angels and all that shit?
Literally the outfield. Christopher Lloyd played the main angel?
Exactly. Yes, right. There's none of that. So no one shows anything like that.
I would hope
not. Well, and the whole thing is that the coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates, he gets talked by an angel talks to him.
Okay.
And he tells him, like, hey, you shouldn't play this guy because this guy's tired and this guy's this and this guy's that.
Oh, he just gives him really good advice?
Kind of like that, but at the same time, like, hey, you should go back, let him go because he doesn't have much time left. And shit like that, like, you know, like, because he's going to retire this year and you should let him bat. He's going to do good for you. You know, like, he won't let you down, right?
Right.
Give him a chance, right? Yeah. Stuff like that.
Okay.
Right? And then, but there is a little girl who does see them. She's an orphan, right?
Uh-huh.
They obviously, like, fucking super, like, pulling on the strings.
Annie's
right?
sister.
Yeah, might yeah. as well have been, okay. right? And it's an interesting work because the guy develops a relationship because with a female reporter who was like calling him out on stuff like that, and then she ends mm-hmm. up like he ends up explaining herself or himself to her, and then they kind of she ends up helping him a lot.
Yeah,
other stuff like that.
Was baseball really big in its heyday at this time?
Yeah,
yeah, okay. yeah. I think so.
This is like. Not much after, you know, Babe Ruth and all that stuff.
So, right, yeah, okay. I always get those timelines.
It is big, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, it's way much further than that, but yeah. It's still big.
Okay.
So yeah, baseball's big, and they have like a commission to where like they want to take him out of being the captain or the captain, the coach.
Okay.
Because like you shouldn't falsify God and stuff like that. There's a lot of interesting things that happen in the movie. Huh. And ends up like things work out obviously in the end for him, and they end up like.
Okay, I remember as a kid, I loved the Disney version, yeah. but thinking back on the movie, I'm sure I would hate it, so I haven't revisited it.
Right, right.
But this one
was actually very charming, very nice. I liked it overall.
I will check it out.
So yeah, I'll tell you. I will tell you. It was directed by Clarence Brown, if you know who that is. Starring Paul Douglas.
Yeah, Clarence Brown's a little close to Clarence Shedd.
Yep. Janet Leigh.
Wait, the girl from Psycho?
Yes.
Huh.
Keenan Wynn and Donna Corcoran. Corcoran, yeah. That's the little girl. She cute.
A lot of white names back then.
Yeah, all fucking white. Well, they're all white. Yeah, so that's the movie I saw.
Right on. I want to see that, actually. I'm very curious. I like charming old movies like that.
Going a little bit further, in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Crack House. Crack House, the sequel.
I saw a movie.
Yeah.
That's not charming, but maybe in its own way. I saw Magic Mike for the first time.
Oh, well, that movie was great.
Yeah. We all know what Magic Mike's about. So that's starring Channing Tatum. Alex Pitiafra.
True Blood.
Yeah, Olivia Munn and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's right.
Directed by Steven Soderbergh. Yeah. Soderbergh.
What made you want to watch a Soderbergh movie? Because you saw Lucky Logan recently, or?
Yeah, that and my wife and I were looking for something to watch.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, "We should watch Magic Mike." I was like, "I think Soderbergh directed that." And I was like, "Yeah, why not?" I was like, "Okay, let's do it." And I gotta say, so I heard this in a different, I don't know if it was podcast or different something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might have been a thing. I think it was a podcast where he's like, his favorite line was Matthew McConaughey says in it's like right at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, he's talking about to the women in the crowd.
Yeah, to the women in the crowd.
He's like, "Oh man, there's a lot of laws, we can't touch us, but I see a lot of lawbreakers out
there."
Yeah,
that's the line. And he's like, yeah. He was like, "Ooh, get a little winded from that one," and I was like, "Get out of here!" Yeah, but it is a good line, though. It's a pretty good line. Overall, the movie wasn't bad. I didn't hate it.
No, yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah, there's a part two,
and I got ridiculed for it.
I don't know where the part two is going to come in from, but whatever.
I heard part two is actually better.
Is it?
That's what I heard. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, that's what it is.
Because the thing is, I saw this in theater.
Yeah,
and it was a powerhouse moment for me in theaters, because you get these kind of moments are kind of rare in a movie theater. They don't never happen. They never happen, but they happen pretty rarely. Where like I went there. I'm not saying I was the only guy there. I definitely wasn't at all. But I was like 10% or 20% of the guys. The rest were all women. Yeah. So, like, it was a show to be in that movie theater, like, enjoying the movie with them. And the movie wasn't bad either. So it's not like I was hating the movie retroactively, ironically loving it.
Sure.
I actually was liking it. So, yeah.
Well, I liked about the movie, it wasn't about, like, just showing, you know, male strippers or whatever.
Right.
That was cool.
I mean, Showgirls wasn't just about showing tits.
Right, exactly.
A lot of it was.
Exactly. I mean, I thought it was cool, though, how he's like, you see this guy trying to do so many things at once, you know, and he obviously likes what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, if not, he wouldn't have done them, right?
Yeah.
And it is cool to see.
He came up from dancing. He's a great dancer.
Right, exactly.
He did those step-up movies or whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, but he gets completely shafted from helping this one kid out. And that's
the rookie, right?
Really fucked up. Yeah, the rookie. Yeah. That's super fucked up. Like, he loses most of his savings, and like it's you know, it's shitty. Like, but it was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. Would you watch the second one?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch it one day. It's out there somewhere. Some streaming service has it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Same here.
Right. So that's Magic Mike.
I gotta watch part two if I haven't seen part one.
I don't know if they connect or not.
Wasn't it the same guy?
Oh, maybe it is. I have no idea. Actually, it makes sense to think that it would be a sequel for that reason.
Right.
I just didn't know if it was like another generation, you know.
The new generation.
Like, all step-up movies are not real sequels, are they? Are they all sequels? For reals?
No.
I thought, because I see,
the first two are. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Bad radio.
But they do change characters.
Yeah, after a while. It's called, like, Step Up. They're Never Back Down, Stepping Up.
Yeah, that's right. We put a lot of that title. That's right.
Stupid.
All right, so that's what we've been watching. We're going to move on to our first review of the evening. It's a movie starring Jason Sudeikis and Anne Hathaway called Colossal. Find out what that's about. Stay with us.
You don't remember anything last night, huh?
I got really melodramatic, didn't I?
You told me that you weren't really on a vacation. That you've been looking for a job for a year. Your boyfriend didn't work out.
You are out of control.
What?
I've packed your things. They're in the bedroom.
What?
And since you didn't have any money, you decided to move back here.
Is there anything else?
Don't remember anything.
Gloria is an out-of-work party girl forced to leave her life in New York City, the Big Apple, and move back home. When reports surface that a giant creature is destroying Seoul, not her soul, but Seoul, you know.
Yeah, South not a Korea. Very good title, Seoul.
Seoul bad.
I mean, Korea.
Seoul bad. She gradually comes to realization that she is somehow connected to this phenomenon. Not the movie Phenomenon, but...
Wow.
Phenomenal.
Deep cut to the 90s. John Travolta.
Yeah, guys.
Spinning sunglasses.
Sadly.
Yeah, you do.
This movie starring Anne Hathaway.
In the Big Apple.
Jason Sudeikis for like 10 minutes. Jason Sudeikis.
You're in the Big Apple.
Fuck you. Austin Stonewall. Or Stowell, sorry.
Stowell.
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one I was remembering. Like, I remember some guy in there. Go ahead, go with mom.
Directed by Nacho Vigalondo.
Yeah, that's how he likes his name pronounced.
And he also wrote it. This guy did other stuff.
Time Crimes, the movie I keep hailing every year.
Do you?
I mention it a lot.
Yeah, I must not hear you.
It's in the conversation for one of those, like, the best time travel movies. I know you really misheard what I said because I've said that line 73 trillion times.
Oh, hey, he's known for Time Crimes?
Yep.
Yep.
And also Open Windows, but I think only Luke and I reviewed that one. You missed that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That sounds like I totally missed it on purpose. Colossal, this came out earlier in the year. This is because obviously shit month besides like It and like one other movie or something. That is, well, they're coming out now.
And also in lieu of that's funny. Here's inside baseball for you guys. We haven't recorded the intro yet, so I don't know if I mentioned this yet. Anyway, in lieu of a marathon, we don't have yet, we decided to, you know, kind of kick back with two newer releases and one that came out earlier in the year that we missed on.
Right.
That we want to catch up.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Not only that, but it's also, I have right now lack of time to watch a movie.
Killing yourself out there.
Exactly. Yeah. So hold on. Super proud of my son. He's totally pissed it on his own.
Oh, yeah. How old is he? You've been training him for how long to potty?
I did it like a 3-day training and he got it.
Oh, you had that seminar, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Yeah, spreadsheets and all.
Do I have kids? I don't know what they're called.
Seminar. Yes. What the fuck?
Oh, he did it.
High five.
He's probably not too proud of it. He's like, I didn't do that well yet.
Lift up your underwear.
Yeah. This is great podcasting.
Right here. Anyways.
Well, it's original podcasting.
Yeah. Anyways, what did you think of the movie?
I was about to ask Leo the same question. He's buying time, so I'll say what I think of the movie. I mentioned this earlier in a previous episode in a What We've Been Watching segment a few months back. I don't remember when. Probably around the same time this movie came out to buy or rent. Because I did not see this in theaters, but I heard when it was in theaters, it was amazing. And as soon as I heard it was amazing, when it comes to indie movies like this, I choose to like stop whatever I'm hearing. And like, I won't listen to any reviews or know any of the plot or whatever. I do it.
That's hard.
Because a trailer for this is harder to find.
Also, the worst. Yeah, it is kind of. Also, the worst thing is when you hear something, a movie, usually means it just left the theater that you want to go see it from.
Right.
Like, the moment you hear about it, you're like, oh, the movie's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's the worst thing.
You start looking for it.
Yeah, like, you look for it. You're like, oh, yeah, you just have to wait 3 months until it comes out on VOD. Like, fuck you.
Well, these days, a lot faster, especially for indies. Thank God. I mean,
you know, indies are on it about coming on VOD.
Well, they have to in order to stay alive at any sort of thing.
Right, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's maybe a bad thing for them, but a good thing for us. Yeah, so Colossal, I really loved it. It made my it was my number 2, I think, film of the year so far in that list. Maybe my number 3, I forget what number. Check the website, though, otherpodcast.com, if you want to know what number that is. I really loved it, and I really think that Anne Hathaway and Andy Sudeikis and the rest of them, too, but them two especially, they carry this film in such a strange way. I'm not saying we've never seen Anne Hathaway act like this. She's definitely done it before. And, like, she's done, like, an exaggerated version in a movie called Love and Other Drugs. She's done a lesser version in other films I can't imagine right now. But I know that more about The Wedding and stuff. So, but she plays this party girl, like, way too late in her life really well. And she does play someone that is learning responsibility or responsibility for her own actions. And of course, she learns it by seeing someone who's her same age not doing that. And then that's portrayed in Andy Sudeikis. And that's not a huge spoiler. You kind of know off the bat. Or by half of the way of the movie, before half, right?
Yeah. Like in the beginning, you think he's got it all figured out, you know.
Yeah,
he looks all figured out.
Yeah.
But it does.
But every jab, he makes fun of himself. It's always like very negative and like, oh, yeah, I have my dad's bar, and, you know, he makes fun of himself too much.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, the movie is very strange because the movie is about a relationship, an old friendship when they were kids, and she moves back home from New York because she was kicked out for not doing shit with her life. And she had a brief stint as a popular person. Like, she had her some of her writings published, if I'm not mistaken. And
on the internet.
On the internet. Well, everything is on the internet. If you have something published only on paper, you're failing.
Interesting.
That's how people see it. I'm not saying it, that's me. So, yeah, all this happens, and it's about this relationship. But also, should we spoil the actual main thing? I know it's also part of the beginning of the movie and stuff, but should we say what the hook is, or should we like try to review this movie, hopefully getting them intrigued to watch it without the hook of the movie?
There's fucking monsters in it, yo.
Yeah, there are monsters in it. But should we explain the connection?
No, I think that's the hook, yeah.
Yeah, because that's an absolute
that's almost total
much.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't totally spoil it.
No, but you know what? That makes the movie what
makes
I
makes you want to look for that connection.
Yeah, but that makes it, I think that kind of ties in the movie a little bit better also.
True, true. So, what's going on in the background while this whole party goes?
So, yeah, this is an interesting thing where the movie starts off really weird. Let's go with that, right?
Yeah,
away.
Right.
As where it's it has a weird opening where like the pan of Sailor Moon doll or something. And it looked like
that's
Sailor
what they
Moon.
Call it
looked like
call
Sailor it. Moon. Anyways, and you see this girl and mom looking for it, and they're speaking in some Asian language, which you find out is Korean.
South Korean.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Did you say South Korean?
I did.
That's fucked up. Anyways, South Korean dialect, I guess.
That's right. North Korea can hack me.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, so you find out it's Korean, but they're looking for it, and as she finds it, like this. Thing appears, this monster creature-like thing appears in front of her, not like right in front of her, but like a ways where she feels the earth shake, the ground shake, and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, tall as
it's
a building.
Monster, right? Exactly, it's as tall as a building, and it just kind of disappears right away, like a little bit later. And it's just super fast, and then it's just 25 years later, and then everyone starts talking in English, and it's Anne Hathaway, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Like, if you ever rent this movie, you might think that you rented the wrong movie for
right,
a while, like we
sure.
did.
Yeah, so. You totally think, like, some motherfucker wrote over this copy of
yeah,
this,
right.
or replaced the copy. Yeah.
Right. And especially if you're a pirater out there, a pirate, you know,
yeah.
you might actually think that you got the
you
wrong.
Might actually think you have the wrong copy, yeah. So actually give it some time. So other than that, I mean, it's a weird opening, but it kind of leads into, like, what the movie, where you should, what you're going to expect from the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, don't forget there's monsters in this movie. Like, it's kind of like that.
There are.
Because you do kind of forget about it, even though the question is still there while you're watching the movie, until it comes back up.
I think I legitimately forgot about it. Like, I let myself.
I almost did, yeah. But I was just still like, there's monsters in this, right?
I think
like,
I let myself
there's
forget.
There's monsters, right? I'm
yeah.
Like, pretty sure there is.
Because I didn't even see the poster for this movie. And
yeah.
Some sort of strange too, and they give you like a weird connection to this thing. But yeah, so you find that in the background of all this, not drama, but of this girl you're watching. Not girl, she's definitely a 30s.
This woman's life
trying to, you know, get back her life going, get her life back going. She finds a job with an old friend from childhood at working at his bar. She's kind of an alcoholic though, so that's not the greatest of the ideas. And meanwhile, the boyfriend, you know, she's kind of on a test trial period to see if she can be not worthy enough, but necessarily, but like be. An adult enough to go back to New York with the boyfriend.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird. I didn't know if it was the boyfriend,
yeah.
like a fiance, or
right. I didn't know. That
I didn't
either.
Know if they were married. Yeah. Also, like, and she was just like, "The fuck out, it's my place."
I don't think so for sure.
Like, you know, obviously the marriage one was a little harder to believe, but I didn't know what kind of relationship they have because, like, it felt boyfriend and girlfriend at first. But yeah. I was like, why are they still talking? Like, I mean, were they going to make it married or something?
Right.
Like, makes sense more there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they were like maybe just in a deep, long relationship rather than marriage, in my opinion. I didn't see a ring.
Right.
So while this is happening, in the background, this world event news is going on where literally no hoax at all. In Seoul, the city of Seoul, there's this giant monster, very much like the first in the opening of the movie, pops up in the middle of the city, of its downtown area or whatever, off the sea, and it walks around and shit, and it disappears. And that's
yeah, it doesn't kill anybody.
Nothing that isn't accidentally, I think.
Yeah, nothing that is not accidentally. Exactly, yeah.
Because
it just walks through or something.
Right, but every step of a car.
But it does hit, like, buildings and shit.
Right, yeah, it does.
Yeah, and
the world's freaked out, as you can imagine.
Right,
it's
the world's
not
freaked out. Well, everything right. Well, we're following it's Anne Hathaway's movie.
Yeah,
but we're following her, and then she just happens to like either be blacked out, because this is another thing the movie does kind of weirdish, where I didn't enjoy too much because I didn't know if it was her blacking out, her dreaming it, or her. Just not remember, or just not like her.
That's
just
true.
Or time just skipping ahead and just like
that's true. The events of the monsters and when, because you know the time difference. When it's really early in the morning, it's actually like dinner time in Seoul, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's nighttime completely.
Nighttime completely, but it's like not like maybe like 11 o'clock or something.
Sure.
And the movie juxtaposes the rising of this monster and the news footage that comes with it with her drinking in excess and then blacking out, which does give the confusing feeling that she might be dreaming this, or if she is dreaming it, she's also causing the dream maybe in Seoul. Because they go hand in hand.
They do.
The filmmaking makes it a little ambiguous, I think on purpose. It's funny because the movie does present like two or three mysteries that would be frustrating in almost any other kind of movie, but the whole point of the movie and the core of the movie is solving those mysteries right away, or when we get to spoilers, they solve it.
Yeah.
And it also leads into why the theme of the movie and the emotional hook and all that stuff.
Sure.
And the arc. So I don't blame it too much, but you're right. It was confusing. You're right.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I think we kind of have to get into spoilers.
What do you think of the acting?
Overall, I
called Andy Sudeikis. It's Jason Sudeikis. I called him Andy earlier.
Yeah, I don't know why you called him Andy.
I don't know.
Anyways, I do think Anne Hathaway did a good job. Her hair was always disheveled.
That's like her gift, dude.
It is, right. Also, she was pretty drunk most of that movie.
Yeah, she plays a good drunk.
She does. Yeah,
she plays good.
Fast and loose. Not too loose. But Jason Sudeikis, not his normal role-ish, I think he still is.
It does a bigger surprise of
where
I didn't expect that from him.
Right, exactly. Because Jason Sudeikis is like a mile a minute with jokes, you know. He's gotta be the witty guy. He kind of plays an asshole. If you've seen like Horrible Bosses, for example.
I haven't seen that one. So
like, well, that's like his. Yeah. That's the bigger one, right? Because there's two of them. But
he's in both.
Yeah, he's in both.
Is he one of the bosses?
Huh?
Is he one of the bosses or one of the
No, he's workers? The employees.
Employees.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. And he's what's it called? He always plays he plays more of the role like where he's the grounded person who's an asshole only looking out for himself. That's usually his role. And then this one's kind of similar, but he's not making like I said, he's not making witty comments all the time. And normally that's what he does. And in this, it did not. Although he doesn't, he's making comments. He's not going a mile a minute like he normally does in other movies. He takes it a lot easier, and it's more of the this character who's obviously just hasn't grown up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, anyway, I really liked his turn. I guess I haven't seen Horrible Bosses, but for me, he always seemed to be like the witty, nice guy. And I liked his turn. So let's get into spoilers. We can talk more freely about this movie starting now.
When they started downsizing, I was the first to go. Oh, you jerk. You already knew.
Yes. Sorry.
Why? Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? Why are you letting me, like...
I don't know. I didn't want you to think I was creepy. Like, I'm some sort of stalker.
Oh, well, it's too late for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've been following me all these years?
Of course I have. Somebody actually made it out of here and did something special for once. Hell, look what had to happen for things to get interesting around here.
Giants attacking South Korea.
No. I mean, you.
So many people die.
I mean, technically, you're right.
I'm not lying. Right. Okay, so I have a question for you. When she kills those people on accident because she trips?
Yeah, she trips.
Right. Which also, did she trip because, like, she was being attacked? Or did she trip because you thought she got tripped, like, she just tripped over herself in her life?
Oh, I think she tripped over herself.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't think
No, I just felt like maybe, like, because she was feeling, like, things that were hitting her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. But when she tripped, would you have felt super bad like that? Would you have felt, like, going to tears and stuff?
Well, okay, so the true magic of this movie, for me, the science fiction element, which I guess is everybody's hook to the movie. My favorite stuff for me was that, should we explain what this
movie is? We might as well.
Before we start saying things that we think people would know?
Yeah, like what?
I mean, just in case people are listening that don't give a shit about spoilers.
Yeah.
So we find out that, through some magical supernatural moment when they were children, you find this at the end, but this is the reason I'm saying.
Yeah.
Both of them. both, I forgot, I'm just going to say Jason Sudeikis and Anne Hathaway, when they were kids, they were fighting over the doll. He was taking, he was bullying her, basically. And he was holding a robot doll. She was holding a monster doll, the exact same monster type that's in Soul Attacking 25 years later.
Well, they were. It wasn't like that. They just had those dolls.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying the personifications of them turned into the dolls.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
I'm saying. Yeah. That's the connection I'm saying. And then a weird lightning bolt thing happens, and in that same playground at the exact same time. And based on that, this weird power has emerged where 25 years later they find out, of course, that at that time in the morning, I think 6 or 7 in the morning, when the kids are going to school, maybe 8 or in the morning.
No, 8.05.
8.05. Sorry. You just saw it more recently.
Though. Yeah.
Where she's used to, like, going by their drunk, going home from the bar. She's actually turning into a monster in Soul, walking by the exact same playground at that time. And she finds that out by herself. You know, by, like, doing hand gestures and checking the news out the next day or whatever. Or an hour later. And then, like, being freaked out by that. That's a huge power. It's a tremendous responsibility placed on someone whose life is filled with irresponsibility.
Right, but it also plays it off well where...
Yeah.
Well enough to where we don't care enough to, like, a normal person, or I would right. think a normal person would be like, if they found that shit out, they'd be like, oh, I'm never going there again, you know, and just leave it be and be like, whoop, there goes that phenomenon, right? Or maybe you test it once again just to be like, all right, cool, and then walk away from it, right?
Because
you don't want to risk anything, right? But this person's just like, oh, I'm totally going to go risk it.
Well, that's the thing. She made two huge mistakes, but, like, she did not take her power...
Seriously.
In the Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
And she told others.
She told others, yeah.
Like a
fucking, not only did she tell others.
She told the other person, the worst person, actually, the most petty person in that town.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And it led to all those disastrous consequences. So the true power of the movie, based on everything we said, is that you can have someone trip on a playground and not really get hurt, but make it seem like the worst thing ever and make the stakes super high. And understand the weight of all those potential buildings and cars and people dying.
And what's weird is, like, they only last, like, what, 2 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it doesn't last that long at all.
They're only there for, like, 2-3 minutes. But it's, like, a huge catastrophic event in Seoul.
Yeah.
Well, if they go into the city or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that the power of that movie lies in that. And it lies in the, I think, in the ability to turn her around. You know? And turn her around because... You know, it's easy for us as a viewer to, like, you know, stay on her side because she's the main actress. But also, like, rejoice that we can hate Jason Sudeikis as equally by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The thing is that we hated him. By the time we're supposed to hate him, we hate him as an audience member. But she kind of takes a step back instead of taking a step forward to fight him off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I would have stabbed him. At home, asleep. Because why risk killing a city full of people, right? Why risk it?
Right.
It seems like it would be, like, too much. But
also, poor Soul. Like, they have a lot of problems.
Right, yeah.
Like, Pacific Rim, all of that stuff.
I mean, I think Pacific Rim hit all of the cities in the...
No, but I think it, like, lasted in Soul. Like, that's where they were, like, place at the end. Like, that's their, like... surviving city or something.
Oh, is that what
it was? I think that's what it was.
Well, isn't that good for Seoul? I mean, it was like the last one left.
I guess. No, they just take a beating by giant things.
Oh, they just take a beating in the cinema. yeah, they do. Yeah, I guess so. I guess everyone's trying
to Cloud Atlas is like the last surviving city.
No.
Wasn't it?
No, I don't know about that, but it does take place in Seoul, one of the stories.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was one of the surviving cities.
But there's another future story. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was just watching Atlas. That's why I know.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Good soundtrack.
It's on Netflix. It's a good soundtrack, yeah. So I really like that stuff. It's like a good powerhouse of that movie that does two weird things mixed with monster movies. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. But
it's hard to classify this movie.
It is hard to classify this movie, but I mean, it's interesting, though. I like the self-realization when she figures out that, you know, hey, like, it's me. Like, I'm this person. And she keeps having these weird dreams. Like I said, I think the faults of the movie were... we've been obviously praising the movie where we find it interesting enough. We like the catch. We like the monsters, obviously.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim was one of my favorite movies when it came out. we like all that kind of stuff, right? That's awesome. But like, I think, like, for me, like, we kind of mentioned earlier where the problem of the movie is, like, you don't know if she's blacking out, if time is going forward, or if she's, like, ignoring things. Like, there's one scene that kind of tells you, like, oh, okay, time is just normal, where she's on the phone with her ex-boyfriend, and then she goes to answer the door, and they're like, oh, I got a new futon. Oh, that's great. This is awesome. And then they're like, oh, yeah, let's go to work. And then she just leaves the boyfriend there, and you thought, like, time maybe had skipped again because it's already happened a couple times. And the boyfriend's just like, hello? Like, oh, time hasn't skipped. Okay, like, maybe that's a precursor that's just saying, like, in reality, time never skips. She just,
I think it's showing her, like, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's weird. And for me, I thought the same thing. Like, why are you leaving him? He's in your place. And all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, like, it's just showing you. Because this movie, in a way, because one of my other questions for you is going to be, do you find these two characters relatable? And or do you know someone that's like this? And I think I do know people like this, but never this harsh.
No, it's never
like
either.
I've seen people, women only, but I've seen people like Anne Hathaway who would not leave someone behind in their house. That's an extreme version of that action, but someone that could be that absent-minded to do that.
Yeah, no, I do agree, yeah.
And irresponsible to not think about it, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole point.
Right.
Is that you're showing constant examples of an more extreme version of something than you're used to. Sure. And Jason Sudeikis, he's insane. I mean, to me, he's doing insane actions.
Right, no.
He destroys his bar for a joke? Not even. Nothing. For nothing.
Well, it's a power play.
Yeah,
it's a complete power play.
Right.
I mean, it's a complete... I have complete control over you. That's a controlling... That's a dominant person, you know?
Yeah, but it's still for nothing. He's destroying his own place.
I get it.
Right, yeah.
I get it. What I'm saying, that's a complete dominant person, though. Yeah. Like, I'm willing to do this because I can.
Yeah.
You can't. He kept
ratcheting it up.
Yeah.
You know, the only other scene this reminds me of that's just as extreme and really crazy over the top is Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood when he's in the shop by the railway station and all the oilmen, the other competing oilmen are sitting like one table down away from him and his son, and he can't shut up. He can't stop talking about the success he's having and that he won't sell his oil to them or whatever. And he can't tell them, he can't not tell them that he's proud of that. And he can't shut up about it.
Yeah,
and he goes up to them. He starts threatening their lives for no reason at all.
No reason,
and I feel like Jason Sudeikis does very similar effects in this movie, at that bar especially.
Yeah, I just don't think you met those kind of people, also. There are those people. Like,
I guess so. Yeah.
No, I mean, I can give you three examples.
You know?
Yeah.
Off air,
I'm just not going to tell you on air,
No, off air, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Other
than that, movie's cool.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Very tense those moments.
Ashley had a good time watching it. My wife, she was a little bit confused in the beginning. Especially, we even had the conversation. We're like, is that her husband? Is that her boyfriend?
Right.
Like everything we talked about during our review right now was just basically the same questions we were asking ourselves.
Yeah.
And then once everything was figured out, I thought it was pretty cool. The only thing that was kind of lame was that it was like these two toys with this weird lightning thing. Although it was a cool explanation.
Yeah. Did you want someone to say, like, they look just like these molded toys we used to sell?
No. That would have been so fucking boring.
Not 25 years ago, but like, not asking to trace them.
Right.
But to trace the fact that there's a toy line that looks just like the monsters.
No. Okay. No, that would have been so
I thought of that halfway through the movie. I'm like, why isn't someone? But okay.
No, that would have been kind of lame. Although, I mean, because even though the robot and the monster look kind of like them, I think the monster looked more like the toy, but the robot didn't. The robot looked way more like modern.
I don't know. Yeah.
More modern.
Like a Power Ranger?
Yeah.
Instead of a knockoff of a Power Ranger?
Like a Megazord, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, other than that, I mean, it was cool. Did you see the whole thing where she goes to Seoul coming?
Okay. The second she was on the plane, yes. Because I'm like, at first I thought that she, my first thought, well, no, not the second, then the second. I was like, oh, maybe she's going back to New York. He's like, fuck to all this. I'm like, why would you do that?
Right.
My first thought was dread because she's leaving this man with that kind of power unchecked.
Right.
And his friends are useless. I mean.
Oh, yeah. They're complete betas.
We haven't talked about them at all.
Well, they're complete betas, yeah.
Yeah, they're very betas. You're right. And I really like Tim Blake Nelson in the movie. He plays a good, like, high buddy.
Yeah.
You know, he plays a lot of good different roles. Anyway. But no, the second, and then the second, I was like,
Yeah.
And we're gonna get a satisfying ending out of this motherfucker.
Right.
And it makes sense. And it obviously.
But they even did a good shot.
It was a gamble too.
I actually like the shot where she's calling, like, "Where are you?" And I'll tell you later. And then you're like, you kind of still think it's New York.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of traffic and whatever. You're like, oh,
no. Lots of traffic. No.
You're in Seoul right now. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking characters out there that I do not know or I can't read. Oh, the language.
I love how she steps over there at the pier.
Right. And I love how she knew how to control it more than he did. Because I was like, I wonder how that works.
She's the one who's been testing it.
Right, exactly.
He never did that.
Right, exactly. I wonder how that, because I really did wonder how that worked. I was like, does she have to get
I mean, she close to she had to learn a Korean phrase to write so he can apologize.
Right, exactly.
She can't apologize, sorry, for all the destruction she caused.
Yeah.
That was a good, nice turnaround. And then I love how the medium went the same way that the audience for the movie made, because we all turned to the robot for the villain as we turned to Jason Sudeikis as the villain.
Right. Well, he totally played the villain.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm saying it worked both ways. Yeah. We kind of met her in that way.
Right.
But yeah, the fact that she has that much control, I love how he just fucking grabbed him and just flung him. That was perfect.
That was great. Yeah. Well, actually, my wife was like, "So wait, is he still alive?" I was like, No, he's dead.
Although I was curious by second thought after, as soon as she did that, I'm like, if you grab his body, put him on the playground, and 805 comes on. Will his, like, a dead robot appear on Seoul? I was just thinking that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not a question I want to answer, I kind of want to answer. Yeah.
I actually kind of like that we didn't go militaristic in this movie or anything crazy like that.
No, not at all.
Like, someone ratted on them.
I can see this movie wanting to be an action movie almost, but never does that.
It really, yeah. Thank or God. Even like
or even a horror movie. It doesn't.
Yeah, horror, or even something like about running away from the government or something.
Oh, right, yeah, like a chase scene.
Yeah, it's like I was really dreading that.
Although by now there's going to be an investigation because someone took a picture of the sleepy town in, where are they? In New York still, the state?
I think it was still the state, but I don't know where.
Or whatever, sleepy town in the United States. I'm like, they saw that monster from Seoul.
Right.
Grab a man and throw him. Or whatever. They saw anything. It's huge. There's no buildings to hide him. You know, so I'm curious if there's going to be an investigation. Well, it doesn't matter. Obviously, the movie doesn't care. There's no sequels. But it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't explore the agencies or whatever.
Yeah, no.
No, we had a lot of material with those two.
Right.
I mean, a very petty evil man. Very petty, insecure. That scene when she's like, "I thought you wanted to control me." And I thought, and at first I thought that. At first, like, he wanted her for some psychosexual control thing. And glad it didn't go that way. But also, she was like, "It's worse. Like, you're just so insecure and petty that you just can't handle it that I'm here. Like, it's the bane of your existence, literally."
Right.
You know, like, I just thought when she calls him on that shit and he's like, just takes it and does some other thing and then does the bar thing. Yeah. Very, very intense, those scenes. So, we approve of it. Colossal. It's out on VOD and stuff. Not any rental stuff, but you can rent it on iTunes, but not like a streaming
service. I think you rent it like Voodoos and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But we recommend it. It's a good movie. But that's Colossal. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. We shall review our second film here. Alien Covenant.
I thought we were reviewing The Silence of the Lambs.
Why would...
Why not?
I don't know. There's no Jodie Foster connection I'm missing here.
Interesting.
Why would you say Silence of the Lambs?
I don't know. Maybe I just saw it recently.
No, did you?
It was on TV.
Okay. Alien Covenant, though. That's what we're doing. Let's stay with us.
Okay, David.
You've all sacrificed so much to be here and be a part of this thing we're doing.
This crew is made up of couples.
It's the first ever large-scale colonization mission.
And everyone back on Earth is really grateful for your hard work. And your courage. We're making history here.
This is wheat. What are the odds of finding human vegetation this far from Earth?
Who planted it? You hear that?
What?
Nothing. No birds. No animals. Nothing.
The crew of the colony ship Covenant, bound for a remote planet on the far side of the galaxy, discovers what they think is an uncharted paradise, but is actually a dark, dangerous world. When they uncover a threat beyond their imagination, they must attempt a harrowing escape. That's not shocking for any alien movie. A harrowing escape. That's literally the plot of every alien movie. Every alien movie is a horror. Like,
just see what they do is that in this movie, Ripley, guys, to wrap it up, because there's like there's five no other Ripley alien movies.
Yeah,
they give aliens Uzis.
To wrap it up, because they're not the ultra. They're not the ultimate killing machines.
Not anymore. No, with the Uzis, they are.
But they have them attached like predators do, where it's just like automatic things.
Oh, wow.
So they're chasing, and then the Uzis are shooting on their own.
So unrealistic.
With laser targeting.
Laser targeting.
Why not? Fuck it. Let's do it.
This is not like, that's Austin Powers villain, Dr. Evil.
Anyways, this is directed by Ridley Scott, starring Michael Fassbender.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Waterson. Mm-hmm. Billy Crudup.
Crudup.
Sure, whatever.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of his name.
I was Danny McBride. Demian Bichir.
You're Hispanic.
Carmen Ejogo. Shut up.
That's the one name you fuck up
and the other
most.
People. Yeah, I know.
All right. All these are
I said another people.
All these are known quantities too.
They are,
actors.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I know. I know titles of each of each one that's made of shows or movies or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, Damien Bichir is what, that Gardner movie he was nominated for, and Weeds, he was popular in Weeds. Mexican drug kingpin.
Nope.
Did only Luke and I see Weeds?
I saw like a season, and I was like,
this he comes in season 3 or something.
Yeah, no, I saw like the first season, and I was like, not a show for me.
That's all good. No, it definitely falls on the wayside. Like, don't watch it.
Sure. But I don't plan to.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, Alien Covenant. I think I was first last time, but...
I will go first this time. Don't worry about it. This came out like in May, right?
Ish.
Yeah, I think so.
I saw it in theaters, yes.
Yeah, no. It came out this year. It came out May, May 19th.
Uh-huh.
May-ish. Middle of May. Mixed reviews, mixed feelings, I guess I would say. Not mixed reviews, but mixed feelings on the movie, where looks beautiful still. I gave the same thing to Prometheus. It looked beautiful.
That's interesting.
I like how the aliens were, like a lot of the cool things that they did with it. I don't like a lot of the explanations in this movie. I think it falls short.
Explanations
as of like they kind about, of like, explain things fast
or
no, I think more like how like anything with David.
You had a problem with David.
Not himself, but I'm talking about like anything that had to do with his part of like why he wanted to do what he did.
You think David monologuing?
I guess so. Yeah. Like okay. I didn't mind the beginning. The beginning was pretty cool.
I'm gonna say right now, the opening of this movie is the best scene of the movie.
Okay.
For me.
So yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
for example.
It's a really great scene.
Right. Also,
it's like a power
total
play.
D-bag.
It's like a power
that's,
play.
That's exactly what I see of as a rich father. Total D-bag.
Right. Yeah.
Like just fucking spewed out.
Except
he
had to skip. He didn't have to send this son to, you know, boarding school. He knows everything, right?
Right, exactly. He just sent them off planet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's other than that. I mean, it was okay. I mean, I overall, some of the action was pretty cool. You see a lot of things coming. You're like, you guys are fucked.
Yeah.
But then again, I've been through a lot of alien movies, guys. Yep. Like I said, I did like how evolved that species could be, where it's not just one thing where we're so used to with the facehuggers and stuff like that, right? But it's also like with this weird spore that completely like...
Well, here's the funny thing is that, you know, it's hard when you're making prequels,
yeah,
and these are like sequels to a prequel.
Right.
So it's like they're exploring this world that we've kind of known since the 80s. And it's funny because the farther back you go, the less powerful they should be.
Okay, but this is the
opposite. But since they're discovering the origin of everything and the way they go about it and the fact that the way the alien, the facehuggers, whatever, the alien race happens is that obviously like if it goes into a dog, the alien would look like more like a dog.
More like a dog.
So yeah. Like it makes sense that if it goes into those other engineers, that's a different ball of wax,
yeah.
You know. So I like that it does both. It can create a more threatening version of
sure.
The older school slash, but also more futuristic version.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sticking to being more believable in the science fiction arena. So I like that about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. I mean, overall, like a lot of the things you see coming in this movie, There's not too much. There's no real big surprises. There's nothing that leaves you lingering about.
Just that Danny, what's his name?
Who?
That McBride? Danny McBride is the only surprise. Because I'm like, oh, not only did he, I mean, he did crack a joke or two, but he wasn't like the comic relief either.
He was the opposite.
He was actually pretty okay for a dramatic role as a shitty captain. For me, a shitty captain. He made poor decisions. Everyone made poor decisions.
Every single person made a poor decision.
Except for David.
Except for who?
David.
No, David was smart.
Yeah.
Clearly.
David, and who was the other Fassbender? What was his name?
Watson, I think, or Water? No,
Walter. Walter.
I was like Watson.
Waterston. No, you're thinking
Waterston. Yeah. Yeah, that was actually. Yeah. I don't know what else to go with this besides going into specifics. So you obviously have more negative connotations.
Yeah, this movie is literally hot and cold for me. The stuff that really worked for me, which is the science fiction elements, the a lot of the opening sets up for me a lot of the lore of the movie. Because what I've always wanted out of these movies since the... I mean, I know what the first Alien is. The first Alien movie, it's a suspense, horror, like, tense movie. It's not supposed to give you some grand tale of the origin of these things.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to matter. And the sequels kind of went with that. It made one action. It made it more action-y. And it went farther away from me liking it. I love the first Alien. It's still my favorite movie. But it's my favorite movie for being a bottle movie. And
When
Prometheus came out, I mean, as controversial as it was, and I think I came out disliking it a lot at the time, and then thinking back on it, I'm like, I don't dislike it that much at all. I like what it was trying to do. I liked its ideas. I like its concepts so well that I liked it. You know, I've always loved movies where the science fiction cook is that we're questioning our creation, and I like that kind of stuff. So the movie went with that in kind of bonkers, in a bonkers fashion, in Prometheus. And yes, it has a lot of faults to it. Like, you don't run a straight line when a straight thing is coming down at you. Run to the sides. You'll be fine. Despite those problems and some of those bad acting choices in that movie, which is weird that happens, Prometheus did a lot of good job for me to figure, like, put in this perspective of intelligence and philosophy to a thriller movie, you know? So I like that. And I was like, Covenant is going to have quite a bit to go on, especially if I want some of this shit answered, because one of the biggest problems of Prometheus is it opens up too many questions without answering them. I think this movie did a really good job, better job than I thought it would, to answer a lot of these questions and leave enough open for another one that I'm sure will happen. So I kind of like that about it. So all the lore stuff, the philosophy stuff, anything with David, anything with Walter, I love. Because Fassbender is not only the only good acting performance in this movie, times two, but he is the most interesting character in this movie. And, you know, it's like all the best stuff about it for me comes with Fassbender. So,
yeah.
Every scene with him. So I wasn't bored with him at some point. I liked his monologuing. I liked when he was going off. For me, he's like...
That's not what I was complaining about.
No, I'm saying his monologuing, but, his
stuff. No, I'm complaining more about, like, I guess David's overall, like... We know where he was going with things towards the end, right? Where he starts explaining, like, well, like, I created life. I created this, you know?
I see what you mean.
Right, right. But, like, how, like, he just kind of, like, starts spewing off a little bit, like, it took me many years to get to the point where I am now of doing this. I'm like, doing what? Like, what were you making? Like, how are you making all of these crazy eggs?
I see what you mean now. I guess it's more spoiler, though, for me. I'll answer that question more.
So.
Okay. Okay. You want to get to it now, or you want to talk about something else?
No. The one thing I will agree with you, is that there's a lot of things going bad in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't mentioned that yet.
Through human error. Like,
human error is putting it lightly.
Human error is putting it lightly. It really is like we just grab you guys are manning this ship. And you're like, right, well, we've all flown ships before. Right. We all have driver's license. Like, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so it does feel like that. No one knows how to take leadership.
So the cool thing about the ship is that they're on a mission to go to a planet that they've vetted already.
Yeah.
That they're going to repopulate themselves. And they have – and these, 12 people or 8 people, whatever, they're all couples, by the way. Terrible idea. Terrible idea. What the fuck? Like, okay, when I first saw that, I'm like, okay, this must be the only crew. And then
you're like, oh, there's like 2,000 people.
There's 2,000 people frozen in there.
Or like 1,000 or 2,000. You're like,
it doesn't matter.
Why?
enough people where they don't have to be coupled is my point.
Right.
You could bring out 8 other people.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Just bring out the pilot. Don't bring out his wife.
Right.
Literally, bring out the captain. Literally. Don't bring up his wife or her husband.
Well, literally, like them doing that was, I feel like it was only for the fact that we wanted to make dumb decisions.
Me and Starbucks, I know not to date a coworker. How they not know that in space? What the fuck? So that's a big problem. The movie does exploit that. It was interesting to see. I think as a drama, I think I can see the writers like, and I can see myself too, like, can see great tension and great drama working out in this tense science fiction space environment of couples talking to each other and having that kind of, you know, back and forth on top of being coworkers. I thought that could have been interesting.
But what's weird?
But it led to all the worst roads.
But it's weird is like the two bigger ones, or because there's three big couples, right?
Yeah, sure.
Three main couples that I say, right?
James Franco, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three main couples, right? James Franco being one of them.
Who dies in the beginning.
Yeah. Instantly, yeah, right?
You know, he's not even in the movie.
He's
a picture.
Yeah. A video. But yeah. That couple, McBride's couple, Tennessee in the movie,
mm-hmm.
What's it called? Which there's lack of communication between the couples. Like all of these couples, except for the one main, which is the one who takes over, the religious guy.
Oh, Billy Crudup.
Yeah. Dr. Manhattan, yeah. Other than that, he's the only one who actually has a conversation with his wife. Like, everybody else does not have a conversation with their significant other.
Right. So they didn't. So not only did the writers not exploit the drama tension that could work in a cool movie like that, they...
completely ignored it.
It's like they chose the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. Yes, if I had to be working with a significant other or my wife or something, and we were working together, we were also coworkers, I would also not talk to her very much.
Right.
Because I just don't want to create any sort of anything.
Sure.
Bad from it. And I get that this movie maybe want to do that, but you're a writer. You can choose whoever the fuck you want. You don't have to pair them up. This is not real life where that can happen.
Right.
You don't have to have that happen. So that's a big problem for me. But I like the idea again because they're going to a planet to refertilize and populate it.
Sure.
So I like the general idea. Is there a problem? Is that these people are supposed to be smart, right? None of them are smart. None of them do anything smart. And the only real mistake that I can see as a human error was Billy Crudup's decision to go to the planet. Because I can see both ends of his... I can see his mind churning on that idea. Because they discovered this planet from a... Was it a beacon or some source? It wasn't a beacon. It was a source of light, source of power in there, right?
No, it was kind of like a beacon. It was. They were playing
a transmission.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're playing a song, right?
Yeah, it was...
That guy who's really popular in music now.
John Denver.
John Denver. His song is like in 4 movies.
Well, at least 2 that I know of this year.
Well, Lucky Logan last
year. Lucky Logan.
Last show, I mean.
Yeah, Lucky Logan and this one.
And last year, there was another one, and then there was another one from this year, too.
Yeah.
I forgot. Someone mentioned it.
Oh, maybe his rights went a little lower in price.
That's what people are saying. His estate is giving permission to movies to use this song. Hey, whatever. On the way to follow it, they're trying to make a decision, Billy Crudup, the new captain, the new leader, to whether or not to go there. And they find out through scans that it's actually really awesome to populate. It's oxygenated.
Yeah, jungle. And they ask why they...
It's actually better than the one they vetted.
Supposedly. Yeah, it is better. Like, I don't know by how much percentage better, but it is better. They were like, why aren't we going here instead, right?
And it's
obviously been
long,
deleted from, like, the system. Because they didn't mention that in Prometheus, right? That they, like, this is like an unmanned mission or something crazy. Or...
Right, like it was a place that was never like touched on or scanned before.
He found, but he like kept it to himself or something. Because I remember in Prometheus, like we found crazy cave arts that are always pointing this, and we figured out where this was.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then he, you know, whatever.
Maybe you're right. I just don't remember all those details.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone I'm sure knows. Right, as in. So his decision is the only one I cared about because. If I was in his shoes and I did not know that, you know, the monsters in that planet, I don't know what I would choose. It's an actual decision.
But I have a problem with that also where they make it where he's a man of faith.
Oh, I know.
And the reason for his decision is because of faith. And it's not even like a logical decision.
And then they dump that right away after, by the way. He doesn't mention faith again until like towards the end of the movie.
What do they mention faith?
Are we in spoilers?
Yeah,
no, right. We're not going to explain why.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not there.
Yeah.
But... We just haven't said anything, the negative stuff yet.
Yeah.
But he does, it's like they drop it for a long time in the movie.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. That is what it is.
The point is that, anyway, anything about that decision, which is kind of still flaky, everyone makes the worst decision you can possibly imagine
in the movie.
And we're going to explain why more so in spoilers starting right now.
If you created me, who created you?
Ah. The question of the ages. Which I hope you and I will answer one day. All these wonders of art and design and human ingenuity, all utterly meaningless in the face of the only question that matters. Where do it come from? I refuse to believe that mankind is a random byproduct of molecular circumstance. No more than the result of mere biological chance? No. There must be more. And you and I, son, we will find it.
Allow me then a moment to consider. You seek your creator. I am looking at mine. I will serve you, yet you are human. You will die. I will not.
So yeah, every decision that everyone makes gets them killed. Starting with the hovercraft that lands on the planet from the main ship, that girl, Billy Clark's wife,
Tennessee's wife is the dumbest bitch ever. Continue.
That's the one that that locked her in, right?
Yeah,
locked the other girl in. Billy Clark's
dumbest
wife.
Bitch ever.
Jesus,
I've never seen her afraid before. She looked like she gets afraid by everything.
Yeah, let's choose her to. Oh my god, it was just so awful. Like, I can understand. No, like, I really can understand people. Fear meaning just flight, not fight, kind of thing.
I get that.
But
she did both.
She did the worst of both.
Well, and I saw the accident where she went to go fight.
Yeah.
And it failed to backfire on her where she slid on the blood or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that seemed believable enough, right? And I was
too
like...
Too late.
Right, I get it.
She's dead already. What the fuck
seemed,
are you doing?
That seemed believable
enough.
Keep it
locked in there.
Right, exactly. At that least. Seemed believable enough. Not an issue for me.
Right.
Right? After that, though... Like, it just, no. Like, it just felt bad.
And she could have opened the door for a full minute before the thing even came out.
Right.
A full fucking minute. What the fuck? It was insane. It was just so... The thing is that, in a realistic, real-world setting, that happens, and we can understand more. More. Not understand completely, but more as humans. But in a movie, cinematically, it does not work. I don't give a shit how, whatever. At least it wasn't depicted in a way that could work. It was just infuriating for me as an audience member in that movie theater that day. And a little bit again recently. And the movie is full of those. People leaving the group when they know there's infinite dangers out there. It just, man. When Billy Crudup leaves after that one other girl dies in the bathroom and then that thing. And then David... It's pissed off because Billy Crudup kills it, and I'm like, and then David, after they meet David and all that whole thing, is when he saves them, quote unquote, but he's really just using them for more experiments. Yeah, he's a fuckhead. David is like showing tons of signs that he's a fucking psychopath. Tons of signs that Walter himself notices almost right away, but chooses, or at least. Chooses to step in more carefully, but doesn't really raise an alarm.
Yeah.
As I think.
Well, I think it's a mix of like.
Well, Walter has a
programming.
Yeah.
A question for you, actually. Yes. This is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Walter sabotaged the ship's thing in the beginning of the movie?
No, I do not.
You think it was a complete accident?
No, I think Walter was always a good person. I think it was an accident. I think if. I think the.
You don't think directives of like. Because David has like.
Oh, is it like execute order 666?
Yeah, it's
that kind of thing. Like,
I think he was
the soldiers will always be on your side, and so they're giving an order to kill you.
Right, exactly.
I think
it was like, because the movie kind of makes you think about it afterwards, right? Especially when David takes, like, spoiler alert, obviously, because we're in spoilers. When David takes over the ship at the very end, and he's just like, David.
Creepy scene, by the
right,
way.
Right, super creepy scene. Super, so cool. Super Hal scene.
I saw that happening, by the way.
Right, right. Super Hal scene, right? Where he's like, David numbers this, this, and that. He's like, oh, welcome, David. Like, the computer knows him. And you're like, bitch, this guy hasn't been around for like 20 plus years or whatever. Like, how does a computer know him? That's the kind of code he's got. Like, you don't even know he's in the code, you know?
I guess I would say that the answer, I wouldn't be surprised if David did find a way to call a ship down in a way where it may get malfunctioned a little bit. or the computer knows he's David's in the light year around them.
Yeah.
Because if it's true that Walter did do it, it makes their fight at the end less powerful, basically useless.
Yeah. No,
I love that. So
I do agree. I was just asking.
Yeah, yeah. But if, I guess if they make the next move and you realize that, I guess I'd be like, okay, fine. But I now hate that scene. You know.
Right. No, I mean, I did love Walter's response to that, though, where he's like, what happened? Why did we get blah, 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 and all this shit happened? And you're like, well, we had a solar flare, and, like, something happened, like, when we were recharging, and shit malfunctioned, because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I can't believe that. Like, that's too much of a coincidence. Like, I can't predict when things happen, like, solar flare. That is literally a complete accident. He's like, that is unpredictable.
Like, I remember that line of
thought. Yeah, he's like, I cannot predict that. And everyone's just looking at Walter like, yeah, dude, you're fine. Except for this Faith guy. He's just like, no. Like, everyone's just like, this guy's crazy.
He's a nut. Oh, man. But let's talk about some of the violence in the movie. The horror stuff. The scenes itself, besides the stupid...
Well, like I said, I like the iterations of the aliens, for example.
Yeah.
They all come out different.
Yeah.
The spore ones come out looking different than the ones that are... the facehugger ones, for example, right? Yeah. And obviously, it is supposed to take shape or more shape of the type of thing it infects. Oh,
the biological entity it takes,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Like if just a dog, it's going to be maybe smaller or whatever, depending.
But on also
the dog.
Faster.
But also faster, right? And then same thing goes with if it's a human, it's going to be
like
bigger.
The first thing they encounter out in the fields.
Yeah.
When they're like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. It's chaotic. They're like wolves or foxes or dogs because they're moving fast and they're cutting from their feet and shit. You know, because they took over animals. That's why there's no animals when they hear, like, there's no chirping, there's no birds, because they've all been taken over and eaten or whatever.
Right.
So it makes sense. I had a point in my head, and I just lost it. So what are you going to say about...
You said action. You were talking about action.
Well, the action, I think, was pretty cool. I did like, overall, I guess, the highlight, I guess, where it's, like, in midair.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it so much, but it was fine. It was a cool way to crush it to death.
I thought it was cool.
Haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
A question that that part was cool. The whole flying around, like, okay, she should be dead by the force or everything.
Right. Exactly.
But okay, I'm with you. I mean, for a movie that science fiction, I'm just saying, be realistic a little bit. You're not fantasy. Is my point. One of my favorite scenes that isn't the beginning is the flashback. What did you think of the flashback? To them destroying the planet full of the engineers.
I thought it was kind of weird, where it felt like popped up.
It was placed weird, but the scene itself.
Okay, it was placed.
You're right.
Yeah. No, I actually liked it. I thought it was fucking badass.
Badass, right?
Yeah, I thought it was badass.
Like, I'm glad, because a lot of people do have problems with it, and I was like, no.
No, I thought it was badass.
I'm like, I can see David doing that. I can see her reacting that way. I can see her being taken.
All of them are dead. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That is a fucking virus if I ever saw one. Also, like, I have a bigger problem now with Prometheus also. With just the fact that, like, they were so close. This ship was so close to, in comparison, or close enough to this, where this town hall or whatever this place was from the other civilization, that no one noticed it. Like, it was super close, because David takes them there pretty close from the ship that they were from.
So you're saying from the Prometheus planet to the home planet of this engineer's world.
Well, that ship, that alien ship, the fucking U-ship or whatever, the horn.
The horseshoe?
The horseshoe, or the horn ship. It looks like horns.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that ship is close to where David ended up being, and with that gated place, right, where everybody was dead. And, like, that was never mentioned in Prometheus, or, like, it was never brought up. Like,
Wait. There's two different planets, though.
What do you mean?
There's two different planets. The planet that they landed on in Prometheus is different from the planet in this movie.
Is it?
Yeah, completely different planets. The planet in Prometheus, when they went there and discovered it, it was like the military test site version of a planet. That's where they worked on the disease and they built it, but it's not populated like that. And then at the end of Prometheus, they find that the home world is whatever it is, 5 years away, and they go there. So when Covenant starts, the ship is discovered by that planet, not the OG planet from Prometheus.
Oh, see,
it's the whole world.
I had that.
And when the flashback that flashback is what happens between Prometheus and Covenant.
Yeah,
essentially.
Okay. Yeah,
it's like the the Animatrix. Yeah, yeah. Between Matrix 1 and 2.
I got you. Okay. See, yeah. I was confused.
I had to explain that to a friend of mine. I almost told you. I told you this motherfucker like months ago. But I just realized I told someone else that months ago. Yeah. I had to explain it. Yeah. You were confusing, but I wasn't confused the whole time. But I guess my second person telling me that, right. I guess maybe it was shot confusingly and I just didn't catch it or didn't feel confusing to me. Because I knew the whole time also. Yeah. I was never surprised.
Yeah.
Right, because it's also very different. They were on a desert planet and this is more foresty. So I didn't.
I guess.
You know, I don't know. I just took it so easily. But yeah, it's a different planet. That's like their capital. They destroyed the capital.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, David was God there. Like
David. Yeah. God. I mean, he had a god complex. But yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, based on that first scene alone, which is why I love the first scene.
Right. The first scene alone.
It puts everything into context.
It does. Yeah.
So. Anything else you want to mention on Covenant? I mean, the ending, I guess. What was the ending exactly?
I mean, we see everything. We see a lot of the stuff coming. Like, we know our heroine is going to make it out to a certain extent. Our heroes, right?
She's an alien now.
For sure, right?
But, oh my God, can you imagine going to sleep knowing that?
Fuck. I mean, you don't feel anything, at least.
And here's another, her biggest mistake. But by the way, everyone's making mistakes.
Yeah. You don't test the fucking...
You don't test him when he has you by... When he has a button right next to you to put you to sleep. You test him before you get on the fucking ship.
Yeah.
Or you test him where you can have the upper hand.
Also.
Not when he has the upper hand on you.
You saw it coming where he's fighting... Well, David and Walter are fighting, right?
Yeah.
And he gets a knife, or he pulls a knife or a blade or some sort, whatever, right? And the first thing I thought of was like, oh, he's gonna make himself look like Walter.
Oh yeah,
I didn't even think of like, obviously he's gonna kill Walter. Like, we know he's gonna.
The movie's more interesting if Walter does not survive. Unfortunately, I want him to survive.
Yeah, sure.
But the movie's not interesting if he doesn't. So yeah.
Also, really cool.
Rules of Hollywood made me
really
that.
Cool. Drug mule. He was David, where he had all the parts.
From
the alien.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
That was cool. I mean, it makes sense, too. He doesn't have to eat. What's he going to use the innards for?
Right. Nothing.
And also, I like how he tried to shut Walter down. He's like, no, they fixed that problem with them from the earlier models.
Right.
That was kind of cool. Also, just very cool. Anything with Fassbender was really badass. I like when he's, like, teaching himself how to play guitar.
You got to admire David immediately. He's like, oh, because I got to get my hair cut and look exactly like him.
Yeah. No, I
know. Was like, oh, that is creepy.
That is very fast.
I was like, you are going to impersonate him so fast.
Oh, yeah. When he comes out like that, it's the equivalent of that 10 Cloverfield Lane movie from last year when he shaves his beard. This guy. It's a very creepy moment. As a simple fact, where someone's shaving their facial hair or their head makes it creepy.
That's the same thing.
Now, is there anything else? I mean, what do you want to see from the third movie, from the next one?
I don't know. A ship full of aliens.
I mean, like to Earth.
No, because that makes
all the other alien movies not happen. Right?
Null and void. Yeah. No, I wish it. Yeah. I honestly make them land in a Predator world or something. There you go.
Just turn this movie Gonzo. Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well. Fuck it.
Well, the thing is, that I think Ridley Scott's doing everything in his power to not make it Gonzo. Look at him.
I know. I get it. No, but I think it definitely needs to land to another inhabited world, something human-like or something alien.
Or maybe he's on his way to Earth, and the next movie is like another ship spots them, and the whatever drama that comes out of that stops him from something like that. It has to happen.
Right.
Because I can only see him going to Earth. Because you can't write David backwards now. You can't have him not want to destroy Earth.
David never makes it through the rest, right?
Well, no, he's never in the other movies. But there is
something similar to David in the movies.
Oh, Ian Holmes' character.
Yeah, exactly. Which he does a great job.
He's also very defective, also, which is not defective in this because there's a different future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, it's a little weird.
They're going to rewrite that history. You know?
Yeah.
I hope that as long as they don't ever remake Alien, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, no.
Don't fuck that up, please, anyone. One last thing. You mentioned way earlier in the spoiler-free area that you thought that you liked the special effects of the movie and it was on par with the Prometheus movie.
I just like how a lot of the stuff looked. I didn't hate a lot of the stuff. A little bit darker, this one.
What I was going to say is that I don't think it was on par. I think Prometheus looked way more... I mean, it was a different cinematographer, and I think that's when it matters. And I don't know. Prometheus had a look that was insanely more creative and more sleek for me than this one was. I think that's the only really, like, looks wise, I think this is a step down for me, even though I got more answers than I want, you know, than Prometheus that gave me. So I think that's another weird thing.
I don't know, maybe I just give that one scene where the whole population gets wiped too much
thing. I mean, yeah, that's a more bright scene for sure.
Yeah.
No, not with you. I mean, it still looks great. I'm not saying it looks bad.
Sure.
It's not a piece of shit. That's a good movie.
Yeah. No, it's.
The money's on the screen, is my point. Enough, anyway. Anyway, that's our review of Alien Covenant. Check it out. It's available to rent and or buy anywhere you want. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our highlight film of the evening, a newer film, brand new film, making all the money in the world.
Not brand new.
Brand new-ish. Yeah. Okay, fine. It. Stay with us.
When you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. Until it's too late.
In the town of Derry, the local kids are disappearing one by one, leaving behind bloody remains. A group of seven kids are united by their horrifying and strange encounters with an evil clown and their determination to kill it. We're talking about It, guys. 2017.
Do we like that title, by the way?
It?
It?
What do you want to call it? Stephen King's It?
Oh, well, it's like The Thing. You can only use this once.
They use it twice because it was a remake twice, right, isn't it?
No, I'm saying, but it has to be, and that unit remake saying it has to be about that. You can't use it for a completely different movie and take over.
But this is the same movie.
No, I'm saying, but you can't use It anymore.
Yeah. Why not?
It is such a...
It?
Yeah, It. Yeah, it's It.
But I like how they
explain everything isn't It.
Right, but I like how they explain it in the movie because there's no name for it. It's like It because they don't know what it is. They're just
I know.
Like,
he only names himself Pennywise in front of Georgie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I was just curious what you think of the title. That has nothing to do. I really don't care. I'm just jackassing.
This starring...
Directed by the guy who did Mama, I think. That movie with Jessica Chastain. Is that him?
I don't know. Andy Muschietti.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. Muschietti,
I guess. Anyways, starring Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. Jaden Leiberherner. That's not his name, but...
Gesundheit.
Phil Wolfhard. Sophia Lillis. Or Lillis, if you're Hispanic. Jeremy Ray Taylor. Chosen Jacobs. That's his name.
Chosen?
Chosen Jacobs.
His fucking hippie-ass parents.
Dude. Jack Dylan Grazer.
Okay.
Wyatt Olaf. Nicholas Hamilton, and then the list goes on.
Okay, right on. Okay, cool. I should really bring up that because I'm not going to start saying, like, oh, the fat kid did this.
That'd be really bad. You should.
Well, because I really like his performance is my favorite, him and the girls.
Oh, so Beverly and Ben.
Yeah, Ben, that's his name, yeah.
Yeah, although I love the, what's it called, Ben's, what's it? Casting picture or his picture, it's like right after, is the best one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, yeah. That's bad radio.
Jesus, he's like, and that's the end of that chapter.
Right, exactly.
And of course, Finn Wolfhard, who plays the comic relief in the movie.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Right.
So, what do you want to start with this movie? There's a lot of angles in this movie.
It's a remake.
First of all, are we book readers? I am not. I have not read this book yet. Have you?
I mean, yeah, I read books, but I have not read this book either.
Okay. Are you going to?
No, but I will audible it.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean then.
I'm not reading it. I'm just listening to it.
What the fuck?
I get what you mean, though. Yes. I do want to before the second movie comes out.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. There will be a second one. Because the movie is the book. Sorry. Fuck. The book is separated
by 3,000 pages. Yeah,
over 1,000, like 1,100.
Dude,
I mean, that's a serious answer.
I complained when I read my first like 1,100 page book.
Why did you complain? No, you loved it.
No, I complained that it was so long. I loved it. Sure, I did. Right? I was like, I'm reading an 11,000, like 11.
I'm reading something that
not
I
11,000.
I could like turn back on my mugger.
1,100. I was just like, Jesus, like I can beat somebody with this.
Yeah, I know.
Book.
Yeah,
like it weighs more than that brick over there. Come on, guys.
If you were a cop in the 60s, you could not only read something you like, but also beat the suspect with it.
I guess.
Right. Kids ask
that's
parents.
A poll, man.
That's right. What? I mean,
it's a poll.
How is that a poll? I mean,
yeah. In case if you didn't have your phone book handy,
well, I guess they did have a lot of phone books back then. No one
a
has
a lot
phone
of phone
only companies.
They
have
were
them.
Just everywhere.
Yeah, they were on the streets.
Yeah. How else do you think kids learn how to drive? Phone books.
That's true. You're thinking of Indiana Jones, right? Temple of Doom.
I think so, yeah.
Yes. Okay, it's a stupid. Let's talk about it. It be good. So I like this movie. I did like the movie.
Okay.
I'm a big horror fanatic. I had a huge horror phase where all I did was watch a bunch of them. No, but not as a phase anymore. Everything now. I don't particularly seek out only horror anymore. For example, especially lately, in the last, let's say, 10 years, I've kind of neglected horror as for everything. And I've had other phases like Westerns and stuff. So, but horror phase is my biggest one.
Even spaghetti Westerns?
Yeah, and meatballs. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but as far as this movie goes, I think in relation to those, you know, it's not nowhere near the best. But it's definitely not a bad movie at all. I really
especially
like,
for a big movie.
It does have strokes of genius in it, a little bit of genius, or maybe genius is too strong of a word, but strokes of some really smart filmmaking or smart writing or smart planning in the movie. And then there are other types of I think cinematic problems or directing problems, maybe editing or pacing problems that this movie also has that I think were easier to solve than the other genius stuff that they managed to fix. You know, because this is not this isn't, you know, based on an unfilmable book or anything, but it is based on a very big ass book. And I love how, I guess this is not a spoiler at all, but the book intersperses, not like, doesn't do it chronologically, but intersperses the kids dealing with it, Pennywise the Clown, with them dealing with it as an adult. So it goes back and forth. It doesn't like wait.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of the smarter things about this movie, I think, that did it. It made it more simpler by just sticking with the kid's story and even taking a lot of the adults out.
Yeah, there's lack of adults in this movie.
Or the adults that are in it are fucked up.
Yeah, Jesus. Or creepy looking, probably like that guy's mom with one of those kids' moms.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I guess the way she looked. You're right.
Her looks that she was giving.
The Eddie kid. Beverly's dad was still the scariest for me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He had a Freddy Krueger vibe to me.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He did. He like his understudy and shit.
Yeah, maybe. That's a weird understudy.
England, right?
Yeah. He's like, you'll never be me.
I'll always be me.
I'll always be me.
Yeah, Robert Eggers, he's fucking crazy. Freddy. He loves being Freddy too much. Well, he's not doing Fred. He is. I don't know what he's doing. Jesus, Bob. Him and the pharmacist. I never want to go to the pharmacy again.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy, man.
For sure.
He had like John Wayne Gacy eyes.
Oh, dude, that's exactly the person I thought of.
I think I thought of that too in the movie theater.
I think this town is just like murders.
Well, yeah, the only normal one was...
These kids, these are like adulterish kids or whatever.
Yeah.
The biggest pieces of shit ever.
This movie, not unlike Alien Covenant, although Alien Covenant had a more like, I called it hot and cold, where the stuff that worked was really hot, stuff that didn't was really cold. This isn't hot and cold, but definitely there are two sides to this. A lot of stuff that works and a lot of stuff that does not work. Without spoiling anything, how about we start the stuff that we liked? You start that stuff.
Acting.
The kids
knocked it out of the park. I think most of them. The only kid I would probably have a problem with was
the black one.
not to be anything like that, but the Jewish kid. Wyatt Olaf.
Yeah, I think so too. I just think it wasn't his fault.
It was exactly for the type of kid. I didn't like his acting. It's not that I didn't not like his acting.
The kid was germophobic?
Yeah.
How fast he talked.
The germophobic kid? Yeah, he mile a minute.
Jesus.
Mile a minute.
I love him. I want him to sell cars to me.
Do you have any germs in this? Yeah. This isn't that? He's like,
I didn't even copy him, and I talked pretty fucking fast.
It was hard, yeah. So, that's one big win for me.
It has to have the kid. And also, they got to feel like kids, and they do. They swear. They keep it down when the adults are around. They love to, in excess, talk about things they don't understand, like sex.
And honestly, it feels like they're kids. It feels very natural.
All that shit makes them look like kids. Exactly like Stranger Things, which is a big phenomenon about kid behavior that came out last year on Netflix.
Right.
And I think what nailed that right, this is nailing it right also.
Right.
Except that only has three kids. This one has like 70. So
four, but yeah.
No, that's more than
four kids in Stranger Things.
Oh, okay, Will's gone for most of that movie. If you're talking about 11, she's not acting normal. Okay. Yeah, that kind of
she's not acting.
She's acting like an experiment who escaped. Come on.
Experiment number 11.
11.
Anyways.
That means she has 10 siblings.
No, okay, whatever. That. All right. Or 10 failed attempts.
I guess so.
As far as acting was a big win. I also like our characters are reasoning for things, and
for sure.
For example, our main guy, whose name is Will, right?
I thought it was Bill.
No, Bill. My apologies. Okay. Yeah, Bill.
I mean, they're both the same name variation.
William Bill. Yeah, actually, it is.
Fucking English names. Pick a fucking name.
Yeah. Sorry. So Bill, our main character, even he has this huge stuttering problem, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which they play. They and I love how in the beginning of the movie he never gets picked on. Right after the whole thing with Georgie, and the bully even says it. He's like, "You got a free ride because you're brother."
Yeah.
Right. He's like, "Oh, it's fucking hell's breaking loose now," and you can tell like the kid obviously gets picked on for his whole life. He's been picked on because of the stuttering, and he wasn't for this reason. And no. I love that he doesn't want to be the one who has to forget, right? His dad already forgot. He doesn't care about it, right?
Well, it's more like they want to move on because it hurts too much. Kind of.
But the mom is like non-existent. We never even see the mom.
The adults are non-existent. Yeah,
right. The adults are non-existent.
The dad's only there for one scene,
two scenes. But yeah,
what's the other scene?
Huh?
There's two scenes with him, with the dad.
Yeah,
Bill's dad. What was the other scene?
It was the what's it called?
Oh, that's no. That's
yeah, it was two scenes. He sees him. The one scene, right?
Uh-huh.
Where he's like, "You gotta stop with this shit." Or
with
whatever.
The sewer outline,
with the sewer thing, though. And he explains it. We're a really cool thing, by the way. And then the second time was he what's it called? He was out looking for something or whatever. He came back and he was like, "Why are you still doing? Like, you need to get rid of this shit." It completely like he was like, "You need to just let it go." Like he's.
I thought that was the moment scene.
I don't know. I remember too.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Very little.
Yeah. Adults are like not whatever.
Right.
But he doesn't want to be the guy who just bees. It's just a statistic. His brother becomes a stat, you know, and that's a big motivation for the guy. And the fact that he has. He's not the leader of the group, although he ends up becoming the leader of the group. He's not like he's not the one who leads his friends either. He's just obviously the one right now who has the will for because his name is Bill, but the will to drive things right, and his friends are willing to back him up.
Yeah,
not because they feel at a moment they do feel sorry for him, and it becomes the reason that hey, we shouldn't be afraid of this thing, you know. Or,
well, it's funny because I think the other two leaders of the film, for me, seem to be usually taking form of cowardice, but the ones that don't. By cowardice, I mean like the germaphobe kid, who is Eddie, and as well as Richie, the one who's afraid of clowns. Those two kids, they're the ones that want to get out when the game is good, right? They don't want to fight. You know, they're reacting normally. What I love about it is all these reactions to all these kids are with trauma, to whatever, they're all dealing with
everybody's
very
dealing
naturally
it. Yeah.
As much as possible. But Beverly and Ben, I think, do some great leading of the plots in this movie. Ben being the new kid on the block, mm-hmm. Pretty funny joke. I mean, his commitment to history seemed a little over the top for me for a kid, but okay, sure.
Yeah.
People have hobbies and whatever.
Sure.
They don't have jobs. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They have the time for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he spends a lot of time in the library. The library scene was fucking creepy.
Also, by the way,
yeah.
You're just like the only librarian you'll meet who will tell a kid, "Why are you in the library? You should be out and about."
The librarian should be on her fucking knees to have this kid here on his day off. Right?
On her fucking knees. Yeah, anyways.
I've met a few librarians myself, and they'd be happy. If they get
right, exactly. No, it's funny.
It would not fucking make my kid feel like shit.
My wife and I saw it together. She was just like, "The fuck kind of librarian is that?"
Orders like a frappuccino. I'm like, "Do you want to die faster? Why would you want a frappuccino? Like, what's wrong with you?"
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Weird.
It was funny, though.
So I think that they lead a lot. Like, Beverly is the most mature person in the whole group. Actually, maybe in the whole movie. And
actually, that might be
right.
True.
I think so. And the most mature and also the one I have the most fear for, not because she's a woman, but because of the dad thing, which is because she's a woman, but it's mainly because of the whole dad thing. The dad, whose dad is little girl. I'm like, "Oh, my God, stop saying that, for fuck's sake." you know, shit like that, putting his hand on her shoulder, right, in one scene. And they had the blood scene in the bathroom.
Grabbing her hair.
Stroking her hair. That lets her to...
Oh, that's cringeworthy. That is cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy. And it makes her react violently, which is cutting her hair short.
Yeah.
You know, because in the trailer, I'm like, oh, I thought...
But that blood scene with the bathroom, that he doesn't see it, even though we still see it the whole time.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
It also speaks to the trance of this town that is... gladly wanting to be indifferent to the problems it has. And you can see it on the wanted posters for children that are missing.
They just tape over it.
Oh, right. My God. That's such good. Those are some very nice, subtle scenes of that. And my understanding also is that they purposely took a lot of the adult stuff out to explain later in a sequel, because they wanted to just zero in on kids only, even in this timeline of kids only, because they could have done more adult stuff, like their parents. What are their parents doing? But they chose not to really dumb that down. I don't know if it's good or not. I don't know what information they took out, so I can't say, but it worked out for me, I guess. There was something I was going to say about that, but I forgot. But the blood scene in the bathroom worked really well, because her biggest fear also is becoming a woman. She has to go buy tampons. That's the first, I think the second scene we see her in, or first one?
Second, because we see her...
And she meets the boys.
She meets the boys, yeah. Right. Well, third, actually, she meets the fat kid, or what's his name?
Ben. Yeah, that's when she listens to the headphones.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and all these kids, you know, have their own personalities. They have their own, not gimmicks, because that's the great thing, is they don't have gimmicks, thank God, but their own thing. And I love how they'll never mesh well all the time. And the whole thing is to find that time to eventually mesh well, which, you know, it's not spoiler to say that they do find that right spark at some point. So the acting, we talked a lot about that. Let's talk about something not good about the movie. What you got?
What do I got?
Okay, I'll go with one.
I started it.
I think the scares are overdone.
The scares built up.
The scares on this movie, they're always overcooked. They take too long, in my opinion. Most of them, granted, not all of them. Some of them are standout. I say a good half to 80% or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to present it. I don't know how many there are. But there's a lot of them. For 2 hour running time, there's a lot of scares, which I'm good. I'm glad for. I want a horror movie to deliver the goods, but.
Either they build up too much on it.
It was too much. It was constantly like, have to slow down everything to put the creep in and then the big reveal, which you know is going to come after seeing it 20 times before.
Well, I think the problem is that they do it for like all 7 kids or 6 kids.
But more than once on each, though, also, like, or at least multiple on some of them.
To a certain extent, yeah.
Like, by the time we get to the certain clown, you know, filled room, I really got sick of it. I was really sick of it by then. And that wasn't even the finale or stuff either. You know, that was the pre-finale stuff. And I was really sick of it, a lot of that stuff. And then some of them did come out faster. Thank God for those times. I love those scenes more. So that's why I feel that the horror was overcooked, too much of it. And I don't think they did anything. I think the fact that they were in different places sometimes, meant they have a little more play with the horror. But the horror didn't really change. It wasn't that creative for me. Because I'm a big horror fan.
I do agree with you. The horror wasn't as creative as I think it should have been, because everybody has their own fears.
Right.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
For me personally, the same way. I do agree with you to that certain extent. I also think that you could have used a little bit more practical effects. I'm a big fan of practical effects.
That's true.
You know, it just, I think it looks better.
The thing is still 1 mile Tom Fame.
Right. Practical effects galore, right? Yeah. It's just like a little bit too much CG on my end. I get it. It's easy to use, or easier to use. And at the same time, you can do a lot more things with it, right?
But how many of those things are going to be as believable?
Right, exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it works great for the garage.
Yeah, the garage scene was really
good.
Works
perfect.
That was good.
Yeah. But other scenes is just like, it kind of falls short.
Right. Like, even with Georgie, they almost fuck it up because they added too much CG, in my opinion.
Yeah. I also, I'm not complaining. That scene with Georgie, I kind of hate to say it, but the trailer killed that scene for me.
Oh, well, yeah.
And obviously, like, that's fine.
It didn't kill it for me because the way he started it.
Yeah, no, the way he starts it and the way he, like, I like how the whole conversation.
Convinces him.
Right. I mean, he tries everything.
Scares him and then bites him. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
That was good. So I like that it worked out in the end.
No, I love that.
I wish that scene wasn't in the trailer.
I agree with you. Exactly. Like, I know in the trailer that all he says, like, you want it, take it.
Right? Well, the way he says take it, right? It's like fucked up.
For sure. No, I get it, right? But like how he talks to him, he's like, oh yeah, I'm a clown. And I'm like, this and that. Like,
he's just talking about his history. Like, oh yeah, I've done this dancing thing. They call me Pennywise. And I, you know, so he's actually telling two things.
Yeah.
Because he used to do all those things. And I thought that was the only real information we got out of Pennywise, right? Was at the beginning.
He's like, your favorite is popcorn? Like,
why? Yeah.
God, it was super creepy. I like the scene. But at the same time, I just felt like, oh, here comes the scene, though. And that's a big problem for me, especially for big movies. Mm-hmm. When something like you just see something, because it's overplayed, you almost cannot avoid a trailer like for this movie. It's just everywhere. It's like trying to avoid a Star Wars
trailer. It's the anti-Colossal.
You can't. Right, exactly. Where you can't find a trailer for Colossal.
Yeah.
Right. When maybe you want one. You're like,
what is this movie?
I don't want to get beaten by it, but at the same time, I want to be able to, you know, know something about it.
Right.
So like that scene, since it's been overplayed, I like how it turned out, especially with the biting of the arm. It's fucking great.
I'm like, wow, that's pretty bold at the beginning. I really like that but it never gets to the height for me.
Oh, so and I totally made fun. It's a white, I call this a white person problem in movies, right? Mm. Like if that was a Hispanic Hispanic kid or Hispanic neighborhood or whatever, and you saw that kid, right, and that woman came out, right?
Yeah.
And to see, like, she sort of, get out of the street, you're gonna blah, 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 blah. And that kid would have been out of the street, nothing would have happened, that kid would have been safe, because we look out for each other.
Right.
But that white woman was just like, I don't give a fuck about that kid. Ain't my problem.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird, like, why even show a neighbor if that's even going to be a pop, like, what the fuck?
Wow, what's the point? It was almost like, what was the point, right?
You could have just shown
the angle instead. It would have been better. Or through the cat's perspective.
Oh,
cat,
an animal, right?
That would have been fine because the cat literally didn't do anything. Oh, and I told my wife, and I was like, that's when you get a dog. Because at least a dog would bark. Cat just looked at it. Cat's useless.
Cat's useless. That's cat's just waiting for you to die so you can bite your face off.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Free food.
That's all they want. So I like that scene. We're making fun of it, even though... what else? Something. So the bullies on this movie. So I think most of
they're like, a little over exaggerated.
Most of this movie, we can afford to say without spoiling because it's all generalized. But the bullies in this movie, it's overdone.
Overdone. Yeah. I think
I'm willing to forgive it if the town is under a spell, literally. Because a lot of those adults were not acting adults either. They were overdone for the most part. And my understanding, I've started like coming up with defenses of the movie, like in a way, like because there's no evidence in the movie, but it seems obvious that Pennywise can manipulate some of them to do it, like he manipulates somebody in the movie, which I won't say. It seems like maybe the whole town is under this weird spell where they're constantly at their worst behavior, or the worst versions of themselves, and that's why these bullies are carving fucking things into kids' bellies, you know, and it's extreme, but. Whatever it is, it's not shown in the movie, so they're always in extreme mode, and I feel like they look more cartoonish and less relatable.
At the same time, you do explain, and I know I'm defending the bully here, or our main bully, where he's carving, like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Like, that's what I said. He is literally trying to get in trouble, like, he's demanding attention, right? His father's the fucking sheriff, he's a cop, right?
Yeah.
And his father obviously gives two shits about him, and actually just calls him out in front of his friends, completely. Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, he's a pussy. Look at him being pussy, guys. Right? Look at him shake. He's got a gun pointing at him. Right? He even shoots at him, by his feet. Like, come on, like you can't do this. He's a fucking kid. They're like in high school. Like,
it's awful.
Fucking
it's all 13, awful.
14, 15 max.
Yeah.
You know.
No, they say that they're like 14.
Yeah. Fuck you. So, to a certain extent. Also, I love the fact that there's still arcades in this time, and the guy's playing Street Fighter. Good for him.
Well, that's what he wanted to do the whole time.
Just master
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
That's all he wanted.
Yeah.
He had a simple life.
Yeah, and also reference to Nightmare on Elm Street 2 or 3?
No, it was Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors, was it already?
I think it was 3. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. I know it wasn't 4 because Dream Master is the one we saw.
Well, they were going to go in the theater or something, weren't they?
I don't remember.
I forgot.
Yeah. There's another movie reference too, but there is some Nightmare on Elm Street imagery in this movie, for sure. I think they do rely heavily on that series a little bit. Like, they took a lot of innovations? I don't know. Inspiration. That's the word. So, I guess let's get into spoilers for It, even though we're only going to talk about its plot machinations more likely than not. So, starting for It, spoilers now.
Hiya, Georgie. What a nice boat. Do you want it back? Yes, please.
You look like a nice boy.
Do you want a balloon too, Georgie?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Now we aren't strangers, are we?
I should get going now.
Oh. Without your boat? Here. Take it.
He's a clown.
He's still a clown. Actually, I like when he started dancing. I mean, he's pretty good.
Which part?
At the end, when they're the floating bodies and, what's her name, seeing it. So what do you think of the... Okay, so a big problem for me that I couldn't mention before is that they don't really aptly give us... you know, horror movies like these, they tend to... The good ones tend to have the rules really well explained about how the creature works or how the bad works.
Right. Well, I feel like we're getting
what
that...
What they need to... Yeah. Like, you know, and some of them are really simple rules. Like, you know, don't go to Camp Crystal Lake. Just don't go. That's simple.
Or near it.
Or near, yeah, yeah.
Just don't go to the lake. Don't go to Crystal Lake.
No, yeah, anything with crystal, stay away from.
Right, exactly.
They're very easy. Freddy Krueger, don't go to sleep. I mean, I know that's the whole problem is that you have to go to sleep eventually. But this movie, I'm not saying it has to be that simple, but there are other more complicated movies that have rules to them they don't break, and they're grounded, and they're explained well through action and whatever.
By the way, I would suck.
This movie doesn't have that.
I would suck in a Freddy Krueger.
I still have no idea what it is.
The only thing that you can hold yourself to for this movie is don't be afraid of him.
Oh yeah, that's the real for sure.
And that's legit. The only rule we have here is
that he needs to scare you before.
Well, it's like he needs to suck off that energy.
It's like he can't eat raw meat. He has to cook it.
He has to cook it. Exactly, just like that.
Yeah.
And he don't be afraid of him. Right, he'll be and you basically win the fight.
And there are moments where in the movie does give you some clues to that, where they're trying to be triumphant and defending themselves. And in those moments, he does back off a bit because he can't.
A little bit, but he knows who to pick on still.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
yes.
I mean, there's a weird thing because you don't know what his limitations are also, because he comes at them at their houses, at their...
There's no safe place.
And I get it, like, through drain pipes in the end, like, anything that leads to from water things.
Yeah, which means, he also has a physical form, so I know he has a physical form.
Right.
But, so you only could do one at a time, I guess, so...
Right, but at the
same... He's just constantly busy, then.
Right, clearly.
He's a busy guy.
No, but so, like, that's the thing what I was bringing up is, it's weird, because, like, it feels like he comes a lot stronger at times... Where I don't think he should have been there. Like, for example, when he's downstairs, when he appears for Bill.
With
Georgie, yeah. I was like, how do you explain that? Like, was it flooded down there? Like, did it flood because of some rain or something? Like, because of water he just appears? Like, or was it something, some sewer pipe that he came through? Like, that's what we're leading to, right?
Right, yeah.
But
yeah, that basement.
But it's not explained in comparison, right? Yeah. It's not explained in comparison, right? Same thing with the projector. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick. That's a great scene, right?
Yeah, but...
But it doesn't explain his powers. Like, it doesn't explain
and also, I felt like the sunlight was... because they opened the garage doors, and I get that it made them less scared of the dark. That's why he probably left. But it made it seem like he was afraid of the light. And like, for a while there, I thought that, just be in sunlight then.
I think it was more of, like, showing himself to other people. Like, it's out in the open, it's daytime.
Or that. Yeah. The point is it wasn't clear.
Sure.
Yeah. I was thinking something that was...
Exactly, wrong. Yeah.
And I think it seems to be more soul heavy as far as that goes. And he is like a cicada. I think one of the kids mentioned that.
He comes 27 years.
Every 27 years, and he takes out a generation. I think Stephen King loves that. I've been reading The Wolves of Kala, and it's basically a Seven Samurai type deal where these bandits take advantage of these rice farmers. Except that they take their children, and it's every 27 years. And obviously, Stephen King wrote both books. So he has a thing for 27 years and people taking shit, children.
Yeah.
And he actually takes... I'm pretty sure they take their... So I haven't finished the book yet, but they're very similar to it.
Oh, really?
People read The Wolves of Kala. Now I'm thinking more about it. Like, damn, this is awesome. I was going to say, he rips off himself a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did he write himself in that book, too?
Oh, man, you fucking spoiled the shit out of that series right now with that one little sentence. I don't know yet.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
So yeah, the rules are not really well explained. I think we have to they're muddled at best.
Well, and, if I remember correctly, in the second part of the original movie, right? That gets explained a lot more.
Like, oh, I don't remember anything about
that. I remember because I remember more of the adult one movie or side, right? In or part okay. B of the oh, original It. I do. Right, I saw it like a year and a half ago.
Oh wow!
Remember, I didn't see the first part. I saw the second part.
Okay,
and I didn't even see the whole thing. I saw like half of it, okay. And it just like it brought back a lot of the stuff. Right.
Okay. Right.
So I remember they do explain a lot more. Like they super get into lore and stuff like that. So I'm assuming hopefully part two they do explain more limitations and stuff.
I think we're just better off reading the book.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, which I might do in between. This one and the next one. And they will make a next one because they made so much money.
Oh, they fucking banked.
They banked.
But they also had nothing to go against it. Nothing.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Big.
Nothing big. I mean, they're saying it's the worst summer in 20 years or something and as far as movie money.
Oh, yeah?
20 years. Or something like that. Maybe 15, but yeah. Still a long time.
Hey, fuck it. It took over.
No, I mean, the summer's over. But yeah. The point is that, yeah.
Summer's technically not over, but yeah. Sure.
Okay, fine. You know.
20 seconds.
Blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
Summer.
I get it.
So anything else you want to mention about spoilers in this movie? Okay, so another bad thing is that it's like the anti-Cabin in the Woods. Instead of making fun of the tropes, they lean into the tropes in a bad way. Like, we shouldn't separate. We should stick together and fight together. And then the next thing that they fucking do is separate. The very next fucking thing they do, but with a straight face they do it, and expect me not to go, what the fuck? Bullshit. Because that's what I did. What the fuck? Bullshit, you know, in my head. So didn't like that very much. Very bad tropey stuff.
Right.
And again, in a bad horror movie, like a B-horror movie, sure, go nuts, man. But not this one.
Not this one, yeah.
Nope. If you're portraying to be something, do that thing.
Right.
Don't do the other thing.
Exactly.
So so that's one small thing, I guess. But what else you got? Anything else on this?
No. They do leave a lot of stuff randomly unexplained, like we already talked about what his limitations are, what his abilities are, besides shapeshifting, I guess, right? Into different things to scare you, right?
You like the scene where he's like trying to shapeshift between all their fears at once?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I cool. think he was grasping at straws.
Very T2.
Well, yeah, a little. It did feel very. I thought the same thing. Yeah. But at the same time, it was more like he was grasping at straws. Like,
I
need to make everybody fear me right now, and this is what. It needs
or
to
maybe
be
take
done.
One kid with me so I can regain more power. I
right, exactly. Although I do love when he catches Bill, and he's like, "Let me just take him. I won't be back for 27 years."
Oh my God, he almost convinced me,
and
that
I was like, "Ooh, damn, that's good. Yeah. Like legit, like." Perfectly good. I love what was his friend's name?
I don't know.
Richie, okay. the fucking the one who did not want to be there at all.
Right.
And just wanted to play Street Fighter. He's like, you made me lose my shit. He's almost convincing himself, like, yeah, I'm not gonna go help you and like
right.
deuces. And I love that he just goes in full ball. He's like, now I gotta kill this motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. That's great. That's a friend right there.
And that's a good friend because he's overcoming his fear of clown. Because
exactly.
He's fucking it.
Right. Exactly. No, I love it. So. I did love it. He's just like. Making me do something I don't want to do, like that's a total.
That's
friend.
Just a crowd pleasing moment,
yeah.
Which we didn't need, honestly. But I love how it or Pennywise, the shapeshifter, he poses that really enticing getaway.
Yeah, he does. And Bill gives him to him.
I'm not saying I would have as an adult necessarily, but as a kid, I don't know.
Oof, yeah, I mean,
that's a decision that I will probably regret. But like, that's my life, son.
Yeah.
You know, and he...
Right. Oh, you, I mean, that fucking little punk-ass kid.
It also was very creepy in general.
Yeah, no. So, I agree.
It was good.
I'm pretty sure the Stanley, the Jewish kid,
he
wanted a dip.
Okay, he wanted the fuck out of
there.
He didn't want to go there at all. He was the first one that got separated. Idiot.
Well, he just looked back, and then all of
he's
a sudden...
He's just afraid
boom,
of a painting. Yeah, sorry. It's making fun of him.
He's just afraid of a painting.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're setting up for... This is another setup for the adult version of it, because the whole postcard poetry thing with between Ben and the girl thought it was Bill, but it wasn't Bill.
Yeah.
That's a setup, right, for later, because it was never really... I mean, it was discovered that it was him by the end, but it didn't lead anywhere.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's clearly going to lead to something later. Okay. Pretty obvious there. One last question, and then we can call it quits,
sure.
I think, is that have you or are you ever have been afraid of clowns? Have you been or are you now?
I find them creepy, but I'm not afraid of them. Like, if I can... No, I'm not. I've never been afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
It does not help.
How about Eric the clown?
Who?
Eric?
Who's her?
The clown from Seinfeld. Just,
oh, God. I just remember that.
I thought you would get it.
No, no. Failed. Yeah, total fail. Sorry, man. Yeah. Now I remember that. I'm not afraid of clowns. I've never really been afraid of clowns. Okay. I do find them creepy, though. Just, like, in general. Like, it's just all the shit they're wearing and everything. I'm just like, what are you trying to be? Like, I don't care.
Was it college for you?
Right, exactly. It's
like, how do you find the car?
Well, no, it's like that. And I'm like, where are you in, like, Poligiano or whatever, the famous drama.
You know, I think how what Rocky did for boxing, John Wayne Gacy did really bad for clowns. Right?
I guess. It
has to be. I mean, people are freaked out. Anyway, I am not at all whatsoever. I think their job is useless. I don't find them at all entertaining. I don't know what the point is outside of a circus, I should say. But even in a circus, the clowns are the least thing I would look at. As a kid till now, I never understood their profession. No offense, obviously. I'm trying not to offend anyone. Do whatever you got to do. And Baskets is really funny. I really like Baskets. I've only seen the first season. But anyway, it's good. Watch it. Just want to talk about Baskets now. So that's my thing. Never been freaked out by it.
Cool.
It's just fucking...
Are you looking forward to Chapter 2?
Oh, yeah. I'll watch it. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah. I think we're all going to watch it.
I mean, not just because, like, oh, yeah, we're all going to be there for, like, the next Marvel movie. Yeah. No, I'm actually more excited than the next Marvel movie.
Okay.
To watch it.
All right, cool.
For sure. I hope they don't fuck it up. But yeah. I hope they kind of fix their problems from this one. Because I hope this isn't like a, oh, we could do the exact same thing as we did because we did so successful. I hope they don't do that.
No, I really hope they don't either.
And they're also adults. So I hope they work at it a little differently.
Right. I wonder what the cast is going to be.
Yeah. I hope that's as magical as this kid. Yeah. They're gonna have to nail it.
They have to nail it. You might have to get like 7 Michael Fassbenders.
Right? Oh, my God. That'll be an amazing experiment.
Or they'll get, what's the guy from Split?
Oh, James McAvoy.
Yeah, he'll just play a different roles, all of them.
Like, yeah, he just plays the last 3 movies, honestly, because they're all crazy weird.
Yeah, I guess they are.
You want to talk about magical casting?
Magical casting?
Like, who would we want?
Who would we want?
Are you just repeating what I'm saying? The fuck?
I am I just repeating what you're saying?
The fuck? All right.
Am I just feeling dead air? No. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Here. Go ahead. Throw one. Jamie Lee Curtis. No, I'm just messing with you.
What if they pick? I'm sorry. This is not my idea, but it's a good
idea.
See,
that's fucked up.
I'm sorry. It's the first one I thought of. Molly Ringwald for the girl, because she said
she's
like
too old already.
Huh?
She's too old already. Molly Ringwald.
27 years later?
Yeah.
No, it's about the same age. Is she
15 and 27?
How old is Melanie Ringwald?
A lot older than that.
A lot older? You would say a lot older?
I would probably say closer to
You're saying you can age her down a bit?
I'd say probably closer to our mom's age.
No, it's not.
I would say. Find it out.
All right, fine. My oldest mom.
Probably Molly Ringwald's age.
I don't know if my mom wants us to say her age on air.
Nope.
I mean, not that she listens to the show. If you do, hi, Mom. I'm sorry. I swear so much. I love you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
She still might be able to. She's 50.
Molly Ringwald's 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, she can do it. I mean, it's close. It's tough.
Oh, my bad. She's 49. My apologies. 49.
Okay, wow.
Sorry, Molly.
At that point, it doesn't matter.
Sorry, Molly.
Sorry, Ring.
Molly Ring?
Sorry, Ring. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know.
So do you have one? I killed enough dead air for you.
Oh, I just thought of his name. What's it called?
If you say Michael Fassbender, I'm going to slap you.
No. Fuck you. No, Michael Fassbender doesn't fit anywhere.
No, I don't think so either. But don't pick a fat guy just for Ben either. Like you can't say Chris Farley if he was alive or something.
No, but I was thinking about that.
Chris Farley?
No. Oh. There's a fatter guy, but he's a comedian.
A lot of those guys.
That's fucking helpful, right?
Louis C.K.?
Not Louis C.K., not Louis Anderson either, because
I was about to say
that's
Louis
too big.
Anderson.
No, you know he's not. He's the one who helps. I think Conan or whatever as his
Oh,
as
really? That guy?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't think he's a good actor though.
I don't know.
I mean, he could do comedy.
Yeah, I guess.
This is not a comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who to think. I'm trying to think.
We don't have to make him fat. Dream casting.
We don't have to make them fat. No, you're right. Well, who do we make Bill? That's a real question.
You know who I want? Okay, here's who I want as Beverly. Is the
Holly Ringwald's daughter.
Shit. No. It's she's done great stuff lately. She's married to Sean Penn. She's from Princess Bride.
That's not helpful.
Come on. You don't know? Fuck. Obviously, I don't know. I'm going to look up Wonder Woman. She's a Wonder Woman. I'm going to look it up. Dead Air. I love this Dead Air and stuff. Robin Wright.
Okay.
I think Robin could kill it. Not only is she having like a Robin Wright like comeback lately in the movies, she's in the Congress too. Yeah. But not only is she having that, but she's kind of showing a lot of range in her latest projects, at least her last 5 to 10. And I really love her work, man. It's been going on good. Even if the movie sucks around her, like, she's good in it. And I can see her. Maybe she's too old, I don't know. But I think she could really act it out.
Maybe. You never know.
Hmm. What do you think?
Does Molly Ringwald even act anymore?
She does whatever the fuck she wants, man. She's fucking pretty in pink, son.
That is fucking true.
And just for keeps, also. Kids, ask your parents. No, it's for keeps, not just for keeps. It's just for keeps. For keeps. Anyway, she's pregnant in the movie. Watch it.
You actually might be able to get away with, Sudeikis as the... No, as a kid.
Are you mining our previous reviews?
No, I'm not. I was thinking actually
for the smart mouth.
Yeah, for the smart mouth. Yeah,
for Richie.
That's what I was thinking of because of the wit. No, yeah. But I was thinking of perfect person, but he's way too old and dead.
He was like, you buried the lead with that one. He's just like, dad, you don't have to say he's too old.
He was 61 when he passed.
Oh wow,
Bill Paxton.
Oh, Bill Paxton. Yeah, he would have been okay. Just go with the 80s. The last 10 minutes of this review has been awful. Let's call it quits. I think that's it. I mean, we only Dreamcast won, and we all failed at it. So
right. I just think of too many young actors. That's the problem. You have to add. There have to be like 40s minimum.
Yeah, and I don't want anyone too big either because I don't think they have the range. Honestly. Yeah. I don't want Anne Hathaway because I just saw her. So I don't want to do it. I have to actually sit down and think about it. But I want to Dreamcast it one day. Anyway, that's it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Don't forget to tell us what you think of these films and our Dreamcasting abilities, which is really shitty, at podmoviecast@gmail.com and our website, otherpodcast.com. Don't forget to check that out. For Twitter, you can follow me on Letterboxd as well. At Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ruff?
You could follow me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph with 2 R's and an F.
Do you want to mention the other one or no?
I'm on a weird hiatus right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm going to get this new schedule. I don't want to fucking keep doing it.
No, I hear you. If you wish to do so, it would be great to give us an iTunes rating or a review. Well, you don't have to write anything, but give us stars. Give us a star rating is what we want.
Just put dot, dot, dot.
Just put 5 stars. Everyone likes more stars, the highest you can get. And we'll send Luke to suck your cock. He hasn't been here in a while. So we'll just do that for you. So, remember, everyone, we are a bi-weekly show. We come out every other Friday, usually.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't worry. We'll fix the schedule. No problem. Next time, on September 29th, I picked the films. And the films are going to be for our...
Ooh, Can't Make It.
Luke Can't Make It?
No, I said, ooh, Can't Make It.
Oh, yeah, you can make it. Two of these are easy to watch.
I haven't even heard you say which movies.
It's okay. Our highlight review of that week will be Kingsman, The Golden Circle, of course.
Kinda have Smart to. Man.
I almost picked two action movies, but I'm like, I don't want to make two.
Making me watch a movie you know I'm going to watch. Making me review a movie you know I want to watch.
That was a factor in my decision.
I bet it was. Yeah. You're like, what movie will Ralph watch?
I picked Smart, not, you know, emotionally.
Well, yeah, I mean, I picked Smart on it, too. Like, come on. We both knew we were going to watch that movie.
No, you just picked Lazy.
That's not Lazy.
I'm kidding. No, I would have picked that too. Anyway, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, will also be reviewing an indie movie that Netflix bought out earlier in the year called What Happened to Monday, which I'm very curious about. I have not seen it yet. Starring Willem Dafoe or The Friend. And
I can't stand that joke anymore.
So I love it.
It's so
I haven't
bad.
Heard it as much lately.
No,
heard it more than
Luke
that.
Came back, and he brought it up like twice already. And I was like, dude, you just got back. And I've heard this
I haven't said it in a
twice
while.
Already.
So to me, it's newer.
Yeah.
And we'll not end our show with this review, but this is part of our marathon hiatusness. So we're picking a movie from from earlier in the year that we've missed. And we're going to review Sofia Coppola's latest movie, The Beguiled. Which is a remake of a Clint Eastwood movie. And I really want to check that out. I heard great things about it. Missed it in theaters. And it'll be available to rent by the time the next episode comes out. So I'm really excited for that one for sure. All these movies I'm really excited for.
Let me know when you rent it.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously. I'll give it to you. Until then, my loyal cinephiles, I am Oscar.
He's Oscar. Oh, and Ralph.
See you later.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.